I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday morning, ready to do some podcasting. And we have some guests here, guys.
Yes, we do.
We have some very special guests. You guys may know them from the band Living Color. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also how we know them. But we also know them as fans of the show. We also met them a few times. We got to go to their concert here in Charlotte this time last year. Facebook was literally in my memories. Like, remember when you could be around people?
Remember you can touch somebody.
Remember gigs?
Yeah. Remember working? Remember that, y'all? It's Corey Glover and Vernon Reed from the band Living Color. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, y'all. Hey. What? No book? No Reading Rainbow today? What happened, man?
When we have guests, I normally don't do the Reading Rainbow because I don't want them to feel like, you know what I'm saying, they got to come in off the top rope with us.
They got to come with their black power fist up.
Yeah, so I didn't want to put y'all in a pressure situation.
I wanted to read from the Quran.
Yeah, you did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, how y'all been, man? Like, how y'all doing in the Rona, man?
I'm loving it.
Trying not to have the Rona come on you.
I'm loving it because I don't have to be around him. How about that?
See, Cora already socialized. See, that's the thing about the artists, right? Mm. We already, quiet as it's kept, artists are already kind of socially isolated. You know what I mean? And so we be like, yeah, man, we just nod, you know, like, yeah, man, you know, you can survive. I'm surrounded by guitars and everything. It's cool, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, but the context is different.
Right.
That's the whole thing. You can't, all the distractions, you know, they gone, right?
Right.
Like, our Black Widow movie ain't happening, right?
You know, I know.
May 1st came and went, right?
Wonder Woman ain't coming out. None of the movies coming out.
Wonder Woman. New Mutants, all right. That stuff. They're supposed to be really good.
Yeah, and what? And
the
so
franchise is a shook.
So does the isolation and all this stuff? Does it stifle creativity? Does it help with creativity? Like, how? What has that been feeling like?
It helps to spark it. It helps to spark it. It's weird in the sense that things you don't really think about. Yo, I'm gonna go. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, yo, I'm gonna do. And you can't do that.
Right.
So, it's kind of refocused it, you know what I mean? And you know, I've been finding outlets. I have this whole project I've been doing on Instagram called Pandemic Postcards. Mm. And I've been taking my bicycle and going around the city. I've gotten to the five boroughs, you know.
Mm.
We're all working on songs and lyrics and things like that.
And then and then also, like, with so much happening out in the world too, you know, does that kind of, is that also inspirational, or is that, you know, because it's like so much stimuli happening, right? Like, and now it's like, you don't even have to be there. It's coming to your house, right? It's, they shot this dude. Here's a protest. The police is doing that. You know, Corey sent me a video, that y'all had done, and it's like edited in with protest footage and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the culmination of so many things y'all been singing about and making music about coming together at the same fucking time.
Yeah, well, it's nuts. You know, we was around when it was Eleanor Bumpers. We were around when it was Michael Stewart. We were around when this is stuff that happened 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're of an age where we can remember the protests of the 70s and the subsequent riots and the LA riots and all this other stuff. We were singing about this stuff so it would stop.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Hopefully we could shine a light on it and it would become something different. And what it feels like now is just it's transmutated into something else.
Right.
You know, it's almost like it's protesting season. Every 3-4 years, we got to run up on the streets for something.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It don't make any sense.
Yeah. Yes, it's crazy because like you see the evolution of it, you know, and then especially, you know, like I read a lot, so I've been reading and seeing these themes throughout all this shit where you just like, oh, this been happening. Like like right now feels a lot like you know, not that I was alive for it, but it feels like a lot like the late 1800s when like white people would lynch somebody and then black people would go fuck something up on the white side of town. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, like they don't teach you that shit in school, but it's mm-hmm. like, okay, so y'all burning people. Okay, cool. We burning shit too. So we, right. you know, like they, killed a dude, in Atlanta, like 2 nights ago or last night, and then they burned down the Wendy's that called the cops.
Oh, right.
On, like, they're like, hey, look, we taking something of y'all
are
too.
Are you talking about Ray Sharp Brooks?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, just the ridiculousness of being able to see this. You know, people are watching you.
Right. Yeah,
this is what I mean. Care. People, you know, eyes is on you right now. As if you're a police officer, if you're mm-hmm. in, if you're doing something as law enforcement, the eyes is always on you, and no one's taking that into account.
This is the best argument against police I've ever seen, because like this is essentially like you know, a band that they're going, listen, we got some people coming in watching you tonight, and if you do right, like, you can get signed. Okay, this is a, like, you this can make or break the band tonight, so make sure the right. performance is on point. And then the band just shows up and it's like, yeah, man, we're fucking our guitars on stage. We're just, we're bending the mic, sticking the mic right up our ass. Like everyone is fucking watching this, dog. Like, this is the time. Like, the police are on a performance review. Cameras right. everywhere. If there's one time where you can't, if there's one time where you're not supposed to be killing motherfuckers, it's today. And they can't stop themselves. This is the best argument for abolishing the police and defunding the police and all that shit.
Right.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, it's either over policing or under policing.
Right.
Either when there's real criminal activity, nobody comes. When ain't nothing going on, the cops roll in real thick. And the thing about George Floyd's murder that ignited the world was the just inhumanity of it, the slow motion cruelty of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that officer was acting as an arm of white supremacy. It was about total control. It was about the pleasure of it. The thing is, the hand in his pocket,
yeah.
You know, the suspect was handcuffed on the ground. They don't follow their own guidelines. And yet the specter of this officer being exonerated, I'm like, on what basis can you argue when a suspect is compliant, he's not thrashing around, he's not resisting arrest, he's on the ground, he's got his hands cuffed behind his back, and you put your full body weight mm-hmm. with your knee on his neck.
Right.
Now, how long is that? Where is that in any kind of police guideline?
Right.
Right? That's an informal, ritualized practice that they've been doing forever.
Right.
And when you're looking at it, you're going 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Right.
At the point at which George Floyd calls out for his dead mother.
Right.
Right. None of the other cops have the humanity to go, yo, man, get off.
Right.
Nobody. In fact, people, witnesses that saw it, they referred to Officer Chauvin as, they said, yo, bro. They referred to him as a brother,
mm-hmm.
right? I remember he said, yo, bro, you let him up. You know, when they tried to approach, they got pepper sprayed.
Right.
So the whole world is seeing this.
Yep. And then he's operating with that immunity. He knows that
he knows that
one, he's not supposed to be prosecuted, there's nothing that can be done to him, but then two, he knows that a lot of people in this world will see it and defend it anyway. They'll right. reach for a reason to defend it no matter what he would have done. It's, you know, well, you know, George Floyd robbed a bank one time or some shit,
right? And
right.
So check this out.
He stole
right?
25 cents for me when I was
yes,
the whole idea mm-hmm. of some whatever he did in his past is 100% irrelevant.
Right. Right. Agreed.
But the other part of it, he's subject to due process under law.
Exactly.
Equal protection under law. Right?
That's just the point. He was, this circumvents that. This kind mm-hmm. of shit that they do takes that all out of the picture.
Right.
That if I have the ability to take your life or to do you bodily harm for whatever infraction I feel necessary as a police officer, black, white, or indifferent, That takes away your due process. We don't have due process.
No.
We are subject to the whims of whatever this person behind the badge who thinks that I need to treat him with respect and not like a thug or an animal. That is mafioso tactics. That right. shit is, well, it's you're dealing with one of the biggest organized mobs in the world.
Right.
Police officers, that's that shit.
Right. They resolve, it's like, they go from the, outcome backwards. Like, right. So it's like, yeah. Oh, he died. Okay. How do we justify the death? As opposed to like, right. You know, how do we get here? Right.
It's all about crafting narrative.
Exactly.
He was a bad guy.
And
yep. He was this and that. It's okay. Stop for a second. Think about Dylan Roof.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Dylan Roof killed 9 people. Worshippers at a Bible study
right.
that he was a part of.
Right.
He murdered 9 people. They took him for Burger King.
Yep. Yeah.
He should have got a knee on his neck for that haircut.
Right. The way he was looking. And y'all, I think for me, I think the way I view this is for white people don't have to care. And we said this before, but for the first time, the world has stopped. So white people can't do normally they white shit, like go to work, go to the bar, get drunk.
And forget about
get
it.
High,
and
right. Deal with it. Right. That, you know, the things that they use to escape and ignore this shit, they can't right. do that because everybody's in. It's on repeat everywhere. It's on social media everywhere. You can't turn away. Your family, your friends, everybody's talking about the soul. You can't ignore it no matter what. Right. And so since they can't ignore it, they're responding to it. And the thing is, they're getting shocked because they're responding to it and they go, oh, they beating us too, I'm white. Yes, bitch, we've been saying that the police officers don't give a fuck about nobody, but it takes them pushing the old man down, getting a concussion before they go, oh shit, he can get the whites too. Yes, he can get your ass too. You are not special.
Remember in Die Hard when the cops finally showed up, he says, welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
That's what it feels That's like.
Right. Yeah, man, that reminds me of this. There was this protest in Tompkins Park in East Village against gentrification. It was all white people. Remember that?
Just the ridiculousness of the idea.
These people were shocked. They were shocked.
Yes, they were.
They were shocked to their core. They were like, this is not supposed to happen
right.
to them. The law-abiding citizen exercising their rights to protest. So
right.
when the NYSTICS came out for them, they were shook.
Yeah, cops, I mean, the you thing know. Is, it's like how James Baldwin says, like, white people need the nigger. Like, the cops need you to be the nigger, too. Like, it doesn't matter, really. It doesn't really matter the race of it.
No, it doesn't.
Obviously, it's mostly us, but it doesn't really matter to them when it comes down to the core of the shit. If you in that way, you the nigger that day. Like, get the batons, right. get the pepper spray, get the guns, and we're going to fuck right. these people up. I think what happened was a lot of well-meaning white people, you know, want to come out and, like, I'm going to use my privilege in this march. I'm going to protect my brothers and sisters and da-da-da. And they thought they could come out there and stand between us, and the cops would be like, okay, we can't do nothing. Man, them cops was like, light they ass up to this is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Well, I tell you.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Bert.
I think some of these white protests is going to get a little extra because
mm-hmm.
they're going to get this resentment from the cops because the cops are like, we're doing all this shit for you.
For you.
For you. Right. We're doing Here, take another rubber bullet.
Mm-hmm. How dare you show your ingratitude?
Right.
So some of these cops are going to go walk right up and pepper spray people and
right.
drag mm-hmm. people out of cars and beat them because, yo, hey, mm-hmm. You know, y'all can get some.
Yep.
So that
right.
we've been having like cop riots now. The cops are just a peaceful.
The cops are rioting.
And the president yes. set the tone.
Yes.
Right.
A totally peaceful protest so he could hold a Bible upside down like an Antichrist.
Like an Antichrist, dog. And like he's, you know, he set the tone 2015 when he was running and said, you know, yes. you want cops to hit people upside the head and shit. Like, this is a dude that.
Don't be so nice. What right. the fuck was that?
Right. Like, it really was telling, like, this is the tenor he set for the country. And it's not, you know, a coincidence that hate crimes went up. It's not a coincidence that these police violence incidents are rising. It's not a coincidence of people out in the streets either. You know, like, this, all this shit was basically foretold.
Yeah, but, and, right. And also, what people fail to realize, once Trump became president, a lot of the marching and protests, it actually stopped. Like, a lot of people fail to realize that, like, after that, a lot of the organized and it stopped, but it does not mean that the anger didn't go away. It does not mean the frustration didn't. It don't mean that those feelings didn't go away. People just had to alter how they protested because they know that he wouldn't give a fuck.
Right.
But it took everybody being mad, including the white people, for it to get to the point that where everybody felt like they could get back out in the street again.
Right.
When Trump was running for the nomination, at one point he said, y'all need to just give it to me. And one thing he said, if you don't give it to me, there'll be riots.
Yep. He did say that. Yep.
And I was like, and then when he said, yo, I can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and not lose any votes.
Right. Yeah.
When have you ever heard any candidate ever say that, whatever party?
Never. Right. Never.
Well, you know, that's why I was hoping you'd do a Reading Rainbow segment. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Ta-Nehisi Coates said something about this when we were 8 years in power.
Mm-hmm.
That the whole idea of that Donald Trump was the backlash to Barack Obama.
He is the first. He called him the first white president.
Right. Exactly. And
by that meaning that he is the first president who's elected only because he's white.
Right.
Exactly. Bernie and I had this conversation a while back about, you know, the idea that he was, you know, he was the pendulum swing from Barack Obama, because in most people's minds, in most white people's minds, he was blackity, 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 right. Blackity, black.
Right.
But whether he was or not.
Right.
Right. So they used that idea to put in place a con man who took advantage of this. If you live in New York City,
Oh my God.
That's what everybody says.
You know, if you lived in New York,
he's been a $3 bill. He's been a $3 bill forever.
Right.
I'm serious.
Like,
trust fund kid who took his daddy's money and ruined most of it.
Yep.
And then, but had enough of a platform to say and do whatever you want. There was a podcast about the making of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of the reason why he ran for president is so he doesn't have to pay his bills. Right. He owes so many people money that when he gets out of office, he will have to file bankruptcy again.
Yep.
Again.
Check out, there's an episode of Dirty Money, the Netflix documentary. Season one is just about Trump. It's an episode that's just about him. And it goes through just how many failed ventures, how many people he owes money to, how many people are suing him, all this stuff. And, you know, my personal belief is like he won because of that kind of shit. Like, I think white people wanted to like insult the country almost, you know?
Right. It's exactly right. I think.
But the thing is, he's been fronting forever, right?
Right.
And the media.
But
He was such a colorful character.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like Rod was saying. He is. It was almost as if we don't care that much about the presidency after you sullied it with Barack Obama.
Right.
We will put
anybody
the worst of the worst of the worst in there to show you just how much we don't give a fuck about.
Right.
And then they was like, we didn't know it was this bad, bitch. We could have told you.
Right.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Right. Yeah.
Look at what he did to Atlantic City.
Right.
Look at what he did. He destroyed Atlantic City and walked away.
Still owe people money.
He had one casino that was doing well.
Right.
Then he put up another casino with the same name, Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like two casinos with the same name. Okay, that's a bit much.
Right.
Then he put a third casino with the same name, and then the bottom fell out.
All on credit, never paid any of the contractors, any of these people.
Any of those people.
Still.
Any of those.
People still owe, he still owed money off of that. His book, like everything about him is just a trail of fucking, like, I got by on this because I'm a white man. Everything he did, you know?
Right.
It's amazing that middle America and the South win for Trump. Trump right. is the city slicker in the movie.
Yes,
he's the one.
He's the Hollywood. He's
forecloses on the family farm to build a golf course. That's what he does.
He's also the
and
dude that
are, like, loving it.
He's the dude that he claims to be against, right? He's the Hollywood celebrity, used to be Democrat, by the way. Like, he's everything that they said they hate about, you know, the East Coast elite, blah blah blah. He is that dude, and yet somehow, because of his racism, they glom onto that part, because they could equally just hate him, right? Like,
yes. So
if they hate, you know, all these other rich, white, live in New York motherfuckers, right? If they hate that type of person, this dude was on TV doing a show about firing people. These motherfuckers scared they gonna lose their jobs, and they voting for him. It's like, if the only commonality they have is racism.
Right. That's it. That's all it is. It's presidency based on your hatred of other people. And
yes.
I have neighbors. I live outside New York City now. And I got neighbors who were like, Barack Obama was an embarrassment. What's this motherfucker?
Right. Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right. You have the
Barack Obama was an embarrassment. So in order to correct that, we used an orange hair huckster to do that?
It doesn't make sense, because the thing is, the rest of the world, like, you know, when you see articles and people that live in, like, other parts of the world that used to live in America and things like that, they be like, y'all do know today, you know, America's a fucking laughing stock. Y'all right. know nobody takes it serious. I was listening to NPR, and they're talking to these ambassadors in these other countries, and they're like, we're having to explain to people that most Americans are not this dumb, y'all. Like, I'm right. sorry, I don't know what to tell y'all.
It's almost like a joke. That, like, it's like, you know how we used to always be like, when he was running, we'd be like, man, Trump just did such and such. You know, if Barack Obama did that, these motherfuckers would be, but it's like, that joke has now gone times a billion. Like, we're like, the shit is now so crazy, you just like.
Imagine if Barack Obama said, I want to buy Greenland.
Right. Just, like, if there was a pandemic and this nigga said the pandemic was over before the pandemic started. Like,
The pandemic don't exist.
I can't even fucking imagine, you know, what it would look like.
Imagine we're in the middle of a pandemic and President Barack Obama go, I'm going to do the Democratic National Convention, but you got to sign papers to say if you catch coronavirus you can't sue me. And people looked at North Carolina crazy.
Rally.
Yeah.
You can't wear masks.
Right.
You can't wear masks and gloves. But you gotta sign a waiver that says if you come to my rally and you get sick, that I have no liability.
They gonna come.
If you're in a Hollywood movie,
yes.
The producer's stopping you. The producer says this script needs a rewrite.
This script makes no sense.
It's too ridiculous.
All of 2020 is the beginning of an apocalypse movie. You know,
they're
hitting all the tropes. You got the scientists going, we gonna die, and everybody go, no.
Hey, we living in the montage. We living in that montage before the asteroid hits.
The shit exactly. You don't see behind the scenes.
It's like some Jim Jones. It's like Jim Jones, but no Kool-Aid. But you gotta sign a waiver. If you drink the Kool-Aid, I'm not liable.
Right. And they gonna show up. That's what's crazy. Is like, that tells you how illogical racism is. They're at this point, cause the only thing he has left is racism.
All he ever had was racism.
Right. But before this, they could make up, like, oh, the economy's doing so good. I mean, you know, the economy ain't shit no more. You know what I mean? You're not even supposed to be going outside being 6 feet in front of people no more. You don't got a job. You know what I'm saying? The stock market's crashing. Like, it's like they literally stripped him to the bare essence of, like, but I still hate these niggers. And there are enough white people that will show up and be like, but he does still hate these niggers. I'm going to go up there without a mask and no gloves. And I got to support the president. That's crazy.
I'm going to sign this waiver.
Yes.
And, you know, because we want to have this, we want to have this American Uber Olive rally.
Damn my medical bills I'm going to get. Damn my lung, COVID-19 fucking up my lungs. If it wasn't for our governor putting his middle finger up, it'd have been here.
It's still here.
It's a hoax. We all know that it's a hoax, but we all know that COVID-19 is a hoax. Just in case.
Right.
We know it's a hoax. Everybody knows
it's all fake. It's all fake news.
Please.
Not real.
Please sign this waiver right here.
Now just imagine the zombie movie that is, and all the zombies are Trump supporters.
Right.
Think about it.
That's what it is.
Think about it. This is just before everybody turns into a zombie. All the zombies got red hats and American flags on them.
Yes, right? They got sign here, X here. Your blood here.
You gotta laugh, man. We started out the show a little bit before we started recording, and the thing when Corey came on, I was saying like sometimes I'm laughing at shit that I know it would be an inappropriate reaction, but it's my gut reaction because that's how ridiculous
it's
it is.
Absurd.
And that's kind of what a lot of this shit is. This stuff like you just said with the waiver, man. Like, how do you not laugh at that? It's so ridiculous. It's almost suicidal.
It's upset
to go.
It's like, you know what? At the height of we haven't even seen the height of the pandemic.
Right.
No, but we have not.
At one point, the president, probably because he has no plan, he's frustrated, he said, maybe we should inject and disinfectant. Maybe we should just directly inject disinfectant. It's in... The manufacturers of disinfectants have to go on emergency alert.
Yes!
And go, please don't do that. Please.
Right.
Please.
My dad sent me some emails that had memes in them, and one of them was a woman with some Lysol, but it had an inhaler on it. Like these motherfuckers gonna die fucking with this dude, bro. Like, how you hate black people that much? I don't think I hate anybody
smoking, dog. Smoking bleach like crap.
Right. Like, for what, dog? Like, what? Why do you care this much, man? But yeah, it's.
Hey, man. It's crazy. I got that borax.
Right.
I got that good.
Right. Oh, man.
Yo, I got that 10 mule shit, man. What you mean?
Every day, dude. It's like if it wasn't real life, like it would be a comedy. It would be a comedy if it wasn't real life.
It is a comedy. It is a comedy. And that's,
Wait, hold on.
Wait. That's the point that we have taken the idea, this American experiment, and turned it into a joke.
Right.
Yes.
Cause y'all let a black man be in there for 8 years. So it's this a joke for us now.
It has to be ridiculous. If we can't, because we've let somebody who we've always thought of as less than, and forget about the fact that he's biracial, but that he's still a nigga.
Right.
And you know what the thing
He only became biracial when it was convenient for certain pundits to bring
it
up.
Right. And the thing is, y'all, history has shown throughout black people coming into any power, it's not the fact that we get the positions. A lot of times they don't care about that.
Right.
When you're good at the position, when you're excellent at the position, when you can lead, when you're competent, it makes them mad because it debunks all the bullshit they've been taught as niggas are less than, they're dumb, they're stupid, and they can't have you being competent. That's why they were riding into these cities back in the day. There were all these black people with banks and teachers, and everybody was flourishing, minding our own motherfucking business. Some of these ideas people put up now, and they go, oh no, we got to burn this shit down. We can't be letting the niggas think that they somebody.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Well,
that's
what happened to Rosewood. That's what happened.
Yep.
You know, the whole idea that they started this hierarchical idea. America, exclusively America. They learned it from the British, who learned it from the Spanish, who learned it from whomever.
Right.
But the idea of a hierarchy in America, that there is the gentry class, there is the agricultural class, there's the workaday class, all these classes, all of them have a position in this world.
Right.
At the bottom of it. Yep. From the very beginning, at the very fucking bottom of it.
Yeah.
Was you and I.
Yep.
Right? At least you're not them.
Yep.
Well, you know, the whole construct.
And it was cast aside. Hold on a second, Bernie. Wait a minute. No, and the whole idea of it See this? Who's abusing who? Nah. See?
Go ahead, Corey. You got the floor. Corey, then Vernon. Okay, go ahead, Corey. Finish your thought.
But the whole idea that we see that made me forget what the fuck I was saying.
The whole, you're talking about the class system, the whole idea of
the ginger class, we're not them.
Right, we're not them. As long as we're not them. And they built systems and they built controls to continue that idea. Mm. Right? They built the police to say that's not that idea. Banks, communities, right. All this stuff just so that just on the idea that you can be anything you want to be except them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And people identify with the higher class based on that too. Like I feel like I'm closer to being white elite than black trash, and it's always been the opposite.
Yes,
but as long as they have that belief despite all fact that they're okay.
Yeah, and what's dangerous is the black people that have tricked themselves that they're going to get the closest and get the same privilege as the whiteness, because sooner or later whiteness going to remind you that you ain't white. It's one of those things where they'll let you do the work as far as tell your fellow other blacks that they are not worthy of whiteness. They'll let you do that, but even though you're still going to be limited to how high you can go, because they will actually pay somebody who is less competent than you at your job in your racism. Right. They will pay somebody else that's dumber than you to do the same thing.
Yeah, they replace that. Well,
that explains the whole Candace Owens phenomenon.
Right.
Yep.
That's the whole.
And they, the thing that's funny is like
that's also the Lord Chatham Republican.
Yes.
It's kind of like, I don't know why they call it the Stockholm syndrome. They might as well have called it the Mississippi syndrome.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And they, and the thing that's funny is that they replace that nigga like every 2 years. So
you don't have a long life.
Yeah. Mm. Like it's not even a long term thing. Like nobody gets to be that person forever. It's always like, all right, Candace Owens.
And their feelings is always hurt when they get kicked at the front door and they will be like, my niggas. And we looking like, but nigga, you just said we wouldn't shit.
It's like a package from Amazon. Ooh, the new niggas arrived.
The new niggas arrived. Welcome to the party, pal.
Ben Carson said something when he gave his concession after he was running, and he gave it up. Ben Carson said something that was very telling. Mm-hmm. And everybody and all these folks that support him were there, and he said this: everybody loves me, but nobody votes for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that completely crystallized that position.
Right. Like, it's like when people say, black people, you know, they only vote for people because they black, you know, Barack Obama is just because he's a black man, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, black Republicans been running. Nobody's voting for them. No. Black people you gotta be more than black to get the black vote. Karen, what were you gonna say?
No problem. I was gonna say about the Amazon packs. You think when they get it, they sniff it. They sniff the packs and go, ooh, they smell brand new. They got that cough, that new cough smell.
I'm sorry, Jason Whitlock, but Candace Owens is here. You gotta get the hell out. Okay.
I mean, and you know when they come, they look at it like, ooh, no oil on the hair, all skin all dry, just the way we like them. They ain't got no seasoning.
She came with her own bottle. She came with her own bottle of Perk Plus.
Yeah, she came with her own. She came with her own salt and pepper on the side.
What was that? What was that woman from? I think she was from Colorado. Love.
Love.
What was her name? She's a congresswoman from, I think, from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Or black woman, mm-hmm. And as soon as she was not, you know, I think she had married somebody from Utah, all kinds of stuff.
Mia Love.
And when she lost, mm-hmm. because she wasn't kowtowing to that whole idea, she started to realize what was going on. Mm-hmm. They turned it back on her.
Yes.
What's the guy from Florida, the nutbag, who's still wearing a high top fade? What the fuck is his name? What is his
his name? What is his name?
Oh shit! Is it Alan West?
It's not Alan West. He was like, he was a former military guy. Was it Alan West?
I think so, man. He was just on a motorcycle the other day where they were doing a rally, and this nigga sped out the fucking took himself out on the motorcycle in front of all these white people that was there to support, you know, this the anti Black Lives Matter movement. Yeah. So.
Hey baby, yeah. You think they said Lisa?
Yes. Sliding out on their ass like that's crazy.
Once you get in the platform, and once you get in the house, and you really become their house nigga, you only have a short time. You got a short time.
Remember when Michael Steele was the head of the RNC?
Yes.
Right. He didn't last a year doing that.
Right.
As soon as Barack Obama was elected, Michael Steele was head of the RNC.
Yep.
You know, because they were trying to do whatever they were trying to do with that. And all his lieutenants and Hope was summarily...
He was on the clock because they basically said, okay, they have a Negro. So then
we need a Negro.
We got a Negro. Right. You need to start siphoning off.
Like that Negro.
Not like this Negro. He's got a black wife. He was like dusting his shoulders off and shit. We don't want all that.
We don't want no shimmying and shaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't be out here clapping on the 2 and 4. We don't want all that bullshit.
No electric slide allowed.
Sheriff Clark. Sheriff Clark is a particularly egregious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm bracing for Sheriff Clark to justify the knee on the neck.
Yeah. The problem with Michael Steele for me is that Michael Steele clearly has a good heart, and that's why he shouldn't even be over there. Like you can see it leaking out.
Periodically, he
won't make the arguments that like a Candace Owens will make, which is why they had to get rid of his ass. Right. But he won't take it to the Alan West, all this shit. He'll be like, well, you know, Barack Obama, I mean, I wouldn't vote for him. I'm not saying that, but some of these policies are not that bad. And they're just like, boo, nigga, get the fuck off the stage. The fuck is wrong with you? Like,
they call him the white Sandman. Right. White Sandman, get him off the stage.
It's like he believes in what the Republican Party builds itself as. He believes in that small government, reaching out into these communities, teaching people all this work ethic type shit. But you only believe that if you dumb. If you, like, everyone smart is like, they're just racist, and then they use that as cover. You know, but he believes it.
Michael Steele is one of the few black conservatives that actually acknowledges that racism exists.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so he had to go.
So you know he's limited. The ceiling is right here.
The ceiling is the
just
floor.
Just above his head.
Right.
It's just above his head.
I still remember that interview he did at CPAC or whatever.
Yes.
And he was talking to those,
he was hot.
He was talking to those white conservative people. And dude basically told him he did a terrible job as the chairman of the committee. And boy, he was hot. He was 7:30 hot, boy. They told him to his face. I said, I know he want to punch this dude in the fucking face, but he was like, come on now. Now hold on. Now I'm just saying, Michael. Well, I was like, yeah, Mike ain't going to make it, bro. You need to be able to take that insult. Like Ben Carson would have sat there and not blinked. I mean, he never you know blinked. I mean?
He don't blink anyway.
Yeah. He would have sat there and took it and been like, I'm terrible.
You know what? What does Ben Carson
know about housing?
Nothing. Nothing. Nope. Nobody's there qualified.
He lived in one once.
Oh, no.
Why is Ben Carson in charge? It's unbelievable.
Because he's black and he knows where the projects are. That's all.
It's housing and urban development. Now we all know from music awards, urban means what? Black. So he was like, listen, I'm black. I'm the only black that you know, Trump. Put me in charge. I'll kick the blacks out of the housing. It's just going to be housing development when I get done. Cause the urban's going to be gone. And that's really what he's trying to do. He's just stripping rights away from everybody.
And by the way, while this is happening, you know what I mean? There is actually a pandemic happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened to the task force?
We disbanded that a while ago.
We ain't seen Dr. Fauci in so long. Mm-mm. Dr. Fauci, you know what happened? Dr. Fauci actually followed his own advice and said, when you are in contact with somebody that has coronavirus, you're supposed to take 14 days away from everybody, right? And so he took his 14 days. Trump and them said, fuck that. They've been in the streets period. They didn't stop being in the streets at all. Mike Pence didn't stop going to work, none of that shit. Dr. Fauci is a victim of his own science. He's been out of the public eye because he's just at home with the Zoom camera on, hoping somebody will call, and nobody's doing it.
In the meantime, Typhoid Trump is running around spreading the virus everywhere.
Can't wait. Can't wait. I think this nigga got the cure or something, because he a little too much with it. He out here hugging people and shit.
I know. Did you see him on that ramp, though?
Oh, man.
At West Point?
Dog.
He had to say, the ramp was a little too steep.
He didn't have a guardrail.
What?
You saw how he was drinking that water?
He's the healthiest president of all time talking about guardrail.
You see how he was drinking that water? He was doing the speech, and it looked like he really didn't want to take his eyes off the teleprompter because he can't read. But he did like this when he drank the water. He was like, like he had to move his other hand. I was like, who the fuck? Everything you do is weird, bro. Everything you do is weird, and they still fuck with you. That's crazy.
Let me tell you something. I lived near West Point, and I drove through West Point yesterday, right after all the shit was going on. And it's weird that you drive through this town that West Point is in, and you see BLM and Trump Penn signs next door to each other.
I can't imagine.
Sound like America to me.
Yep. I can't imagine what them brothers and sisters going through. I know they be getting out their house like, this motherfucker, both of them, the white people and the black people will leave the house and look at this motherfucker over here talking about some Trump. And then the other person like, look at this motherfucker caring about black lives and shit. That's America. Right. We stuck with each other. What was it like for y'all though? Were y'all like touring or anything when the coronavirus stuff started coming down and it was like, hey, everybody get inside?
Hey, check this out. We were on, tell them, Corey.
Oh, we was on a boat. We was on a cruise.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
We did two cruises.
Oh, shit. Right. I know y'all was shook, boy.
Hey, man, you know, just walk through a fire, didn't get burned. We were very
good. Yeah. You know, oh, my God.
Because mainly it was affecting cruises in the Pacific. That's where that boat was. But, you know, if they'd had we might have just as well have been out there, but we were in the Atlantic. So we didn't get it. It didn't come through on us. We were very fortunate.
I'm glad y'all made it through. But damn, I know y'all was scared.
Yeah.
No, man, it's been. But the thing is, we've all been affected by it, man. Like someone that's very close, dear to us, we lost a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Through the virus, like we lost our original sound person.
Oh no,
Gina Marinas. She was 100 grand, man, and She was our sound person back in the CBGB's days, and we took her out on roll with us, and she was our sound person right up to when we opened for the Rolling Stones, and then we had to get someone on a different level, you know what I mean, to handle the stadium thing. But Judy, man, you know, she had a battle. She battled cancer and whatnot and beat that back. And this corona thing, man, just her immune system is fucking terrible, man.
It's touching everybody,
so we got people. We have lost people.
Right, and then it's touching everybody, and then to see how callous people are about it now, and I do understand that there is like a common human connection that people want to experience, they want to be out and all this shit, but to see the callousness, like I was watching something the other day, and it was so conflicting. It was the news, and our local news, and so, you know, people been in the streets for George Floyd. It's been over 2 weeks now in Charlotte, and so now the marches are starting to take on different causes, right? It's not like necessarily George Floyd every night, you know, Breonna Taylor, and I'm sure they'll be back out there for Raynard tonight. But they also were doing stuff like organizing marches where they would give food to the homeless and stuff, which was really cool, right? Like, I'm like, yo, that's dope. Like, use that positive energy still for something. But I'm watching.
Well, that's how it's becoming a movement. That's a movement.
And so I'm watching the news, right? And you got all these people that's been protesting for weeks, out there, and they're giving stuff like bottles of water and food to the homeless. But then some of them weren't wearing masks. And I'm like, And I'm like, but bro, you could be giving the homeless coronavirus too. Like you defeating the purpose. Like, who want the water with the coronavirus on it, bro? And the news obviously noticed what I noticed, you know, so the news started interviewing some of the individuals
and they would
be like, so I noticed that you're not really wearing your mask, and I walk by faith, I walk by God, not by, I'm like, nigga, no.
Oh, no,
put the fucking mask on. Another person Well, they were like, so you're not worried about coronavirus? It's like, I mean, not really. I mean, one person in my family had it, but he was 92, so he died. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, bruh, you could still be giving it to somebody, man. That's not good. And I forget. No. Oh, and the last person, they asked, like, so are you gonna get tested? Because you've been at these protests and, you know, clearly y'all not being able to social distance and stuff. And she was like, now's not the time for that. I was like, when the fuck is the time?
And y'all know
this
what?
Is the perfect time. You are literally talking to a community that probably can't get health insurance, right. Can't go to the hospital.
They're gonna get refused. It's a mess. And y'all, I think for me, I look at a lot of people like I'm the lunatic because I was listening to the doctors. Like Roger had to calm me down because I was like so paranoid. I thought when I walked out the door, the coronavirus was just gonna punch me in the face. So for like 2 to 3 weeks, I went nowhere. I was like a fucker outside. The coronavirus out there, bitch, is out there, and it's gonna get me. So Roger had to get. Yeah, Roger had to calm me down because, you know, because the way everybody was saying it, the coronavirus, and that's all I heard. It was a person, and you walk outside, and that nigga was going to touch you.
I love
you.
How y'all are personalized. They call them Miss Rona. Right. Rona coming.
It's like Omar coming.
Right. Rona like... That person in the neighborhood you're trying to avoid. Oh, watch out for Rona.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, because.
What's that about?
It was so much conflicting information, y'all. So there was nothing. It was like, here are the rules. And I understand it was evolving, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, my job, I'm working from home now. Everybody's saying the coronavirus out there. So I'm staying my black ass in the house. I didn't go outside. So then I start going outside and I'm like, okay, I'm wearing the mask. Other niggas is like, do 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 do, and it's like, hey, it's a good day in the neighborhood. I was like, bitch, the coronavirus is still out here. Am I going crazy?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things.
Oh no, it's not you. It's not you because you know Americans in general, right? Americans can't think long term. Like right. When you hear when a virologist or epidemiologist say, you know what, it's going to take, you know, we'll have a vaccine by 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear that. In your mind, you don't want him to hear nothing past a year. You right. want to hear 6 months mm-hmm. and done, and we back.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of can handle 8 months, a year. When you hear, you know, 18 months, you know everybody goes, no,
right.
You know what I mean? This, so everybody, I'm talking about everybody,
right,
is in this space where, at the while, they're just gonna get tired. So it's hot. The mask is hot. I'm gonna just go outside. They just had a thing. They just had a thing that trended about East Village. The East Village, they just stopped this curfew thing.
Mm-hmm.
The East Village was off.
Yeah, hook. I saw that
Everybody
video.
Everybody was out.
Yep. It was like a dude driving his car through the middle of the street, but like it was so packed, people was like almost in the middle of the street. Like it was just enough room for his car to go through, and people was packed from the stores to the middle of the street.
Yes, people are like freedom. I don't think people understand when they start lifting this shit, people assume that it's back to normal. A lot of people, they don't want to make that slow adjustment so that we can slowly go back to normal. Yeah. And all that's going to happen is if you have a governor that cares, they're going to shut shit down again. Like, they don't understand. Now, if you got a governor that don't give a fuck, half the population going to die. But if you got somebody that cares, they're going to be like, y'all niggas go back inside. I don't want, you know, y'all to die. Because the thing is, even Republicans, it's stupid for them to keep this shit open because the old people that are dying are going to vote for you. Why would you kill your own voting populace?
Yeah, it's gonna be funny
because they're building new ones. Those Trump MAGA zombies they're building new ones.
Right.
They're gonna have they're building. Yeah, old ones can die.
Right.
But as soon as if we got enough people watching, you know, online and listening to folks like Candace Owens and listening to some of these right wing pundits. They got new ones on the way.
Right.
All they need to do is prove their point slightly.
Right.
And
they're going to have a rumor that the MAGA hat shields you from Rona. That's what's going to
happen. Right. That's all it's going to be. Exactly.
So you go, the MAGA hat is going to magically shield you from Rona. And you're going to sign the waiver.
Don't be giving Trump no ideas now.
And you go to your rally.
My favorite.
Because it's lined with tin foil.
My favorite people are the people that got the MAGA mask. It's like a conflicting, like, it's like,
oh, okay,
it's cognitive dissonance. Yeah. It's
cognitive dissonance.
100.
Like,
you know what's real?
I'm my own to lives, but also I do kind of believe this shit. I'm gonna go ahead and put a mask on.
You know what? The thing that tripped me out is people that got on masks, but then they hold it right up underneath their nose. I'm like, you do know that's kind of productive to the mask.
The mask
right?
under your chin not helping you.
That's the worst.
The mask under your chin. First of all, it's a terrible look.
No, they do the nose.
It's not helping you.
The nose trips me out. Because the chin, I go, you don't give a fuck. You do the nose, I'm like, well, do you kind of care?
Oh, yeah, well, they cover their mouth, but
not
the nose.
Yeah, like their mouth is covered, but it's like right up underneath their nose. I'm like,
I hate that shit, man. I'm telling you, one of the first days I went to the store when everybody was really starting to take it serious, and it was a dude that had on gloves and a mask, and he came out of the store pushing his cart, and he pulled down his mask. And lit up a cigarette right in front of the store.
Yes.
I just rolled up. I said, nigga, we gonna die. We gonna die.
Because people don't understand the concept of the mask. I was like, oh, we don't understand the concept of the
He didn't even take off the gloves. Like, he didn't even take, it was with the dirty gloves.
They had to tell people to stop using gloves. They were like, you're using the gloves, but you're not taking them off. And then you're touching your face, you're touching your car, you're touching your babies. It was like, you know what? Just wash your hands.
Yeah. This is crazy, man.
Oh, the washing hand. You listen. We spent a lot of time at airports when we flew.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something about these people. Oh my God, these men's rooms.
Oh man, yeah.
So, I mean, the hygiene is
disgusting.
Much to be
to be desired. And a lot of times when men be like, women talk about us, I'm like, yeah, dog, like women kind of are forced, not that they ain't dirty women, but because the way a woman's body functions, you have to be clean. Like, you can't be walking around here being nasty. But you know, like they say, you swing your dick out, you be like, the fuck y'all doing it now?
Well, I will say this, as a person that worked at in several restaurants and had to clean the bathrooms, no one's winning this contest.
No.
It's pretty fucking disgusting in there, regardless.
It's disgusting on both sides.
That's why none of the trans bathroom bills make any sense. No one wants to be in there.
Right.
It's disgusting.
Right. They would rather do it at the house. And let me tell y'all something. I know this might sound, funny to y'all because y'all men. We was watching a TV show and, the little boy went to a trough. And I've never seen
the trough.
I've never seen a trough before. And the little boy was like traumatized about the shit that was going on. And I looked at Roger. I was like, is that shit real or is this just a cartoon? And Roger was like, yeah, that's a trough. And this happens. I was like,
she's talking about F is for Family is a cartoon. It's on Netflix. Bill Burr's comedy cartoon. It's really funny. But there's an episode where they go to a baseball game. And it's traumatizing for the kid because you go to use the bathroom and they do that thing where it's just the single, it's not even a urinal. It's like a trough all the way on the floor. And of course you're a kid, so your dick level to everyone. And everybody's just pissing and splashing piss around and stepping in piss and all this shit.
I was like the kid. I was like, what is happening here? Oh my gosh. I've never been to the little boy's bathroom. The hell is this?
It is disgusting and traumatizing, man. Like everything that happens in the bathroom is horrible. Like I said, it's why none of these trans bathrooms make sense.
That's why the viruses are having a holiday.
It's right.
Yes,
it's winning.
It is.
The virus can't wait for these niggas to be like outside and shit. It's like, oh, y'all ready to come outside? I'm out here too. Come on. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Coronavirus part two, Electric Boogaloo. We ready to do this, okay?
Welcome to the party, pal!
I've been waiting for you to come outside.
Oh, man. Oh.
Electric Boogaloo.
Oh.
This is, history is just gonna be jokes. And look, we go back, when they look back on this period, it's insanity of it. The insanity of it. It's like a kind of gaslit insanity.
Right.
Like you're seeing things that's insane, and you're also seeing people with a straight face acting like it's cool. And you ask yourself, just like Karen said, am I going crazy?
Yeah, gaslighting. Right? It's the thing where I think we're living in a time where it's gonna be documentaries and shit made about all this. Like
this is the gaslight age. This basically This the gaslight age.
Like 10, 15, 20 years from now, there'll be documentaries and there'll be all this montage of people in the streets and then Trump and his segregationist ass people saying all kinds of inflammatory things.
Y'all know what they're gonna be saying. Ben, what's that dude to do the good documentaries?
You're talking about Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. Yeah, Ken Burns is gonna be like, and yes, this virus wiped out 2.9 billion people at the time.
Right. It's gonna be shit like that. And I mean, they're all over Kendrick Lamar's All Right and shit. Cause it's just gonna be that. We're living in that time. Like it's, you know how they say, may you live in interesting times, you know, and it's kind of the gift and the curse.
I actually don't want to live in interesting times.
This is living in interesting times, man. They, you know, it's getting serious too because people said, listen, defund the police, abolish the police. And they listen, guys. They finally cancel cops. They canceled. Right. They canceled.
And
cops.
LAPD.
And LAPD.
LAPD because.
Yes, they did.
All the protesters got to go back in the street and be like, we got to go back in the street with new signs and be like, that's not what we meant.
We meant real
the
cops.
The real, not the show. We.
I mean, those are real cops. What are we talking about?
Read both sides of this sign, okay? We not.
Oh
we
my
don't,
God. Who's in the chat? Think Pretty Thoughts. Smith Pretty Smart said, I thought explaining hammer pants to the kids was difficult.
Yeah.
I'm lost trying to explain this to kids in 30 years.
Yeah, dog.
Real
it ain't gonna make no sense.
He not wrong. He not wrong.
This is a, you know what? It's like wrong. In the history book 30, 40 years from now and kids in school, they're gonna be like, so wait, y'all followed Obama with this. People thought this was a good idea. The same people that thought that was a good idea thought this was a good idea.
You be like, I know.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
It
made a lot of sense to some people at the time. They couldn't be bothered.
I don't know what to tell you, kids.
But yeah, cops got fired, got taken off the air. Live PD got taken off the air. Cops been on the air since like 25 years.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
It has gotten canceled and came back as soon as Trump got in office. They canceled it. It's been gone for a couple of years. It came back.
Yeah, yep. It was rebranded.
Hey, man, listen. Mm-hmm. Law and Order, right? So there are many. Have they ever had a wrongful conviction in the show Law and Order?
You know what? I've never watched that show, man. I've never watched that show. I don't even know. Yeah. I know some people can watch it. I can't. Go ahead, Bernie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just wondering about so Blue Lives Matter. I actually did a list of all. So there's a Blue Lives Matter thing, right?
Right.
And I was like, you know, one way you can measure Blue Lives Matter is the number of TV shows and movies that are dedicated to police officers.
Yep.
The list is crazy.
Ridiculous.
It's crazy, man. You know, it's and the thing for me is like, because I like a lot of this like ridiculous, impossible white man movie type shit, right? And a lot of that centers around cops and all this stuff. And I'm fine with that. If it could stay in fiction. If we could all just be like, you know what, guys? Will Smith and Martin Lawrence shooting up the fucking city is a funny movie. It's not a good idea. You know, like I don't need my police officers doing nothing like that. You know, we should be laughing at Kindergarten Cop. We should be fucking, you know, like John Wick is a cool, like, concept.
I love Die Hard, but yeah, I mean, come on, guys.
But in real fucking life, like, I think some people can't make that, they can't make that, like, dividing line and be like, fiction and real life, because they really be thinking like that's what these cops do.
Well,
out here.
Well, think about it. In all the cop shows you've seen, right? So we're concerned with police accountability, right? We're concerned with the police somehow getting out the wrongdoers. Now, in every cop show or movie you've ever seen, how do they portray internal affairs outside of Serpico?
Right? Like the traitors.
Every movie and show.
Yep.
They're the assholes. They're the ones that stop the cops from doing their jobs. They're the ones that are the rats, right? Yeah. So the very unit that's supposed to look into cop wrongdoing is portrayed to the public.
Right.
And that also frames, all of these shows help to frame the way we feel and think about it.
Copaganda, it's that scene in every cop movie, every cop TV show, they always had that scene where like, the cop does something that they should probably get fired, right? Where it's like, listen, we saw what you did. You beat that suspect to death. The guilty, it's like, well, goddamn, I'm trying to be the only one that cares about this case. They're like, that's it, Mahoney. Turn in your fucking badge and give me a gun. Yeah. And the motherfucker can throw in his badge and gun, and we're still supposed to be on his side. And then the motherfucker goes outside the jurisdiction of the law and be like, I'm going to get my own personal gun and kill some people. And he's still the hero. At no point did they stop being the main guy.
How many times do they have the black chief?
Right. Oh, man.
The white hero cop.
Right.
You have 48 hours.
Right. Yeah.
You have 48 hours.
They got a whole movie. Another 48 hours.
Not
24. Right.
48. They even had a movie called
48
Hours.
And they always, like, the black police
God
chief.
God damn it, McClane. Yeah. Get out of my office.
Everyone, the black police chief be mad as shit for an hour and a half. No, he want to get rid of this motherfucker. You're a loose cannon, God damn it. I'm sick of this shit. But then when they do get to that penultimate scene, they always are the one like, the goddamn mayor's on my ass. You got 48 hours to get him. That's all I can give you.
48 hours, Mahoney. Or your shield and your gun.
Yeah, that's all I can give you. Kill as many blacks as you want. 48 hours. Okay? But after that, that's enough. Okay? Shooting up the city of Detroit.
Get you over this shit.
Yes! Listen, RoboCop, you got 48 hours of killing people, and then we're going to cut it out. It's only the city of Detroit. All the black people voted for this, apparently. Get the fuck out of here.
All of Detroit.
Right.
They must have gentrified the shit out of Detroit by then.
Oh, RoboCop. That's my shit, man. Shout out to that black mayor in RoboCop, too, man. He was like half Morris Day, half pimp. Like, no one voted for this nigga. Like, there's no future. There's no future where that nigga wins an election. But yeah, man, they finally canceled it. And what's crazy is, like, Live PD actually had, because I think they do their shit like it was live or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And they actually had an incident where someone got killed. The officer killed the person on camera and all this stuff, and that officer ended up getting charged for that shit.
Mm.
Right. So, like,
did they air that episode?
I don't know if they aired it. I don't know.
They aired it
and they edited it.
They edited it.
They edited it and they wanted the whatever, I forgot what town it was in. They wanted all their footage,
mm-hmm.
and they had a hard time getting it from them.
Oh yeah,
because it implicated the camera people and the people from the show, because they did nothing to intercede. As this man said,
right.
I have a congenital heart condition. You can't do all the stitches you're doing. And they watched it go down.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he literally, the dude even said, like, the cop was saying shit to him that essentially was like, I'm going to kill you. You know what I mean? So, like, it continued to air until fucking like 5 days ago. Like, the show was still on the network and all that stuff. And then there was another time where cops killed a little girl. I want to say it was in Detroit, where they like shot through the apartment and killed a little girl. That also was supposed to be for like cops, I believe, but they never aired it. And they didn't get it on camera. Like, the cops' cameras hadn't, you know, followed them in yet. But once again, man, these shows, you know, they're showing a glorified version of what's happening with the police.
Right.
You know, they're editing this, they're making it look, you know, and even through all that, if you black and you grew up in the era of watching cops, you still noticed they was treating us way different. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Even when they try to pretend to be like, no, it's cops. It's kind of like a PR friendly thing. We're just going to address, adjust all this stuff. And then you see it. It's like, black person, you know, their car broke down and they sleeping in the car. They going to jail. White person, like, listen, bro, I'm just coming from a frat party. I'm a little drunk. And that motherfucker going to jail.
You have a good one there. Right. We're just going to write your citation.
We're going to drive you to your parents' home. And
the only time that you can see them getting crazy is if the person that they're dealing with is obviously just doing something absolutely nuts. He's like walking around in ladies' underwear or whatever the fuck it was.
Right.
That's the only time.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
I'm not saying this. That's the only time you'll see them really
doing it, and they're doing it, they're playing it for laughs.
Right, for laughs, exactly. It's never like that. Like, you see somebody in a mental health crisis over there, and the cops is like yucking it up to the camera, like, look at this guy. So, it just was never really a show that was about what cops actually do, you know?
No.
And when it ended, and when they did some shit that cops actually do, they cut the shit out. They cut the shit out, so.
It's up to you. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my kids.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, man.
Black Daddy.
To me, it's gonna take me a while.
You know what? You know what? My latest kick that I've been on is here's something that I've been thinking about a lot, because I live in Shaolin, Staten Island. Mm-hmm. And I live very close to where Eric Garner was murdered.
Yeah.
And we need a national monument to the unarmed.
Yes.
We need a national memorial.
Yes, we do, man.
We seriously do.
Like, we finally tearing down Confederate statues, but what are we going to erect? You know what I mean? I think we should be erecting, like, black leaders, black movement organizers. And, yeah, we need a fucking stat. We need a monument to the unarmed, man. You know?
Right. Monument to the unarmed.
Just two arms up in the air.
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be.
That's all it got to be.
Contest, you know, the whole bit. However, we figure out, you know what I mean, maybe the public raise money, but we need something like that, a place of remembrance and mourning, and where people can focus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we do, man. That's a great idea, Vern. We really need that shit, bro, because it's one thing, and I love it, by the way, don't get me wrong, it's one thing to tear the statues down. But it's another to erect something that in its place that says what this shit was before was wrong. You know, I said this shit, I said it on Twitter a while ago, and all these fucking idiots got mad, but I was like, you know, we do the fucking Confederacy a favor by calling it a civil war. You know, it's not a civil war. It's an insurrection. It's a betrayal. It's a secession. It's a bunch of shit, but it's not a civil war. They weren't fighting for some rights that they needed or some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they weren't even fighting to take over the country. They literally were taking to get, they were like, we just love slaves that much, guys. Okay.
Right.
We are not coming off our slaves. We will disband from your economy. We will do whatever we have to do to keep these fucking slaves. And I think it's that thing that leads to them having like these statues erected. They got these military bases named after Confederate generals and shit. Like, it's a slap in the face to every black person that lives down here. Mm-hmm. It's a slap in the face to every well-meaning American that understands right and wrong.
Now imagine if it was Nazis or the Japanese.
Right.
And we named all of the, you know, all that stuff after them.
Right.
Would you still feel the same way?
Right. Like, cause that's what it is to us. You know, like NASCAR taking down the Confederate flag. Like, I do love this time because people are starting to do shit that we've been asking for our entire lives. You know,
that's Real talk. I'm like,
ask for everything right now.
Anything.
Because for some reason they listening, and I don't trust how long they gonna be listening.
No,
so
get all your requests.
If you ever had any little fucking thing, go ahead and be like, I don't like the way this nigga looks at me in Safeway.
Aaron's like, get it in.
Yeah.
Get it in.
Okay. You don't know. Next month they might be off this shit. They be on some new shit. What do y'all think about this as musicians? The Grammys is changing the category of urban contemporary to progressive R&B. Y'all, does that move y'all at all in any way?
That's still the same name, right? We just redoing the name.
Urban Contemporary, it was the former title. It'll now be Progressive R&B. So it's a different name, but same artists and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Progressive. I mean, urban was just like a code word, you know, like blacks don't live anywhere else but in the cities. I mean, you know, so. You know, I guess it's better than, you know, ghetto contemporary. You know?
But like this, for me, I think I will have to see, because if you still gonna throw the same people in the category and still put all the niggas in it, does it make a difference what you call it? I want to see what you do.
Yeah, I kind of want them to call it nigga music. Let's just go ahead and clear the air, guys. Let's go ahead and call a spade a spade. Right. I know what y'all mean. I'm tired of, cause you know what's gonna happen, right? It's the same thing that happened to Urban.
I'm with Rod on this one. Sorry about that. Yeah. I'm with you on this one. Fuck it. I mean, that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Who else is playing the music?
Right. It's where you stick our shit. And we know what you're doing. So you right, might
exactly.
Slip. You it's, might as well like, call it like what the, it is.
It's like the aisle that has all the black hair care products.
Yes.
In. That's all
yes.
that shit is.
You're not tricking me. And I know you keep the black hair care products under lock. Like why our shit got to be locked up? Okay? Perk really? Plus don't gotta have no fucking lock on it. Oh, but right. just for me gotta have a lock. Get the fuck out of here. Sorry, Vernon. I'm sorry, man.
It could be just R&B and hip hop. I mean,
I would go with that too. I would go with that too, Vernon. Okay,
you know, I just
know that these code words mean nigga, yeah. urban, and right. now progressive.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell does progressive mean?
Right. So when Chris Brown puts out an album and the shit went progressive R&B, is the song gonna be about what? Black Lives Matter? Is it gonna be about Bernie? It's gonna be about voting socialism? It's not gonna be about none of that. It's not progressive. It's black. Call it black.
Would you call Lil Wayne progressive?
No, it's black music.
And it's actually more insulting calling it, like Wright said, calling it progressive because, you know, if I'm singing about drugs or singing about sex or singing about bitches and hoes on my song, is we gonna be progressive right. like we claim?
Now I will say right. this, if the blacks that do this kind of music want to call it something else, I support whatever the fuck they want to do. I'm not making this music. If it makes them feel a little better to call it something else, cool. But I just, for my personal taste, just go ahead and say it's black.
Yeah, because you know, and there's nothing wrong with bitches and hoes and pimps and sex right. and all that stuff. I don't got no problem with
but
it.
But it ain't exactly like, progressive.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't call it progressive. You might as well say woke music. It don't make no sense.
Right. Exactly.
Progressive R&B. Oh, white people. So
what does
good.
That mean?
Oh, that's the thing. What does it mean?
People. Yeah, old white people making all these decisions, man.
I guess this hippity hopping shit they doing is progressive. And the progressive ain't for us. The progressive is them. We're being progressive by giving you this category.
Yes, it's the white folks that are doing it is like, we're being very progressive by letting y'all niggas do whatever the fuck y'all
right.
want.
That's right. We're the progressive ones.
Yeah, because y'all know white that's people right. don't know how to name yeah, shit.
Exactly. Who named the category?
Yes.
Exactly.
That was
the category.
Nobody black.
Oh, y'all doing us such a big favor. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody black.
We're gonna trade one code word for another code word.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know what I mean? It's not like they're asking, well, what would you want to... It's not right. like they're asking the artists and I said the producers, what would you like? Would you like the category to be renamed? Make the request.
Right.
First.
Mm-hmm. They might not, they might
would
like it
like
it is.
Would you like it renamed? And maybe people say, nah, man, I'm good with it. Or they say, yeah, we want a new name. Then what would you like it to be named?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Instead
boom,
of
boom, boom, pow, pow music.
What?
I'm telling
called
you,
boom, boom, pow, pow. Yes. That's what we got. That's and next.
I thought for a quick second, I thought you said Mau Mau music.
Oh. Yeah. Real rhythm for music.
For the category of boom, boom, pow, pow music.
Right.
Here's Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey.
No shade to this artist, but it's all for them to give it to Macklemore anyway. So I don't know.
How many categories are there for gospel music alone?
Right.
Gospel got like,
and you know, if that's split up between black and white too. There, don't
yes,
miss
it.
True.
This urban gospel music too.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They probably like progressive gospel. They got to change all of it to progressive.
Yeah, they might as well say music on the twos and fours.
You gonna go to the mall? Yes. You gonna go to the mall? Gonna
two
be,
and four.
The mall gonna be progressive outfitters from now on. They gonna change all of the shit.
Oh,
that's
right.
They gotta change all the shit everywhere now, man.
It's all your day.
Where you live at? The suburb or sub progressives? I live in the sub progressives. out in the way, guys. I don't wanna be racist.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's do my new favorite segment, guys. All right.
Yes.
It's called the cookout, okay?
Oh yes, I love that this segment.
There's a lot of white people out here doing the very least, and in these uncertain times, we need to recognize these whites. Okay?
Yes, we do. Give credit where credit's due.
Up first, speaking of music, Lady Antebellum has changed their name. They changed the band name.
Okay.
They said they are deeply sorry. because Antebellum reminds a lot of people of slavery. Oh, Antebellum okay. South. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they will now be changing their name to Lady A.
Lady A?
Lady A. Which is already the name of a black woman musician who...
Oh no, that nobody Googled? No, so nobody is Googling it.
What can you do? You can't, they can't help but be white. I'm sorry.
They can't help, that is, I don't even know what you say to this. I mean, they changed all their shit. It's like if you put Lady A on, Spotify, Lady Antebellum comes up, not Lady A, the artist. Who
you mean the progressive artist, Lady A?
Yeah.
Yes, the progressive one.
Yeah. She's,
you know what, man? I can't even get into this because, you know, I've already lived through this thing with my man, DJ Logic, because there's a supposed rapper named Logic that stole DJ Logic's name. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Logic went to the court and the whole bit with it. Mm. So that whole thing of somebody more funded deciding to change their name up and take it over.
Right.
Is a thing that
with no taking it over because they want to not be racist, but then taking a black woman's already name.
It's classic.
And literally, like, I just went in Spotify searching for Lady A. Her shit come up second.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. But listen, guys, listen. At least now they are not going by Lady Antebellum. So, I mean, we got to give them credit. No, let me give them that cookout invite, guys. No, okay, we gotta play the cookout song.
No, no.
I mean,
no. Boo. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Woo.
Nope.
Oh, they coming.
Now, those are the folks. They like. They happen to be in the house.
I don't know, man. That's like. I don't know. I don't know that they need to change their name. You know what I mean? Mm. They need to be very clear about what they about.
Well, they already did it, Vernon. They already did it.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope.
You love dogs to me so loud. Girl, do I do?
Woo!
What?
Nope.
You do.
Come on, Lady A.
Nope.
Oh, no, not you, Black Lady A. White Lady A. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Nope, yeah, I'm going to be with my arms folded in the corner.
A, do you mean Amy Cooper?
Oh, she's there.
Amy Cooper,
you know, going
to be
there.
She probably, she did apologize. I do need to get her on the list.
With a new dog. She going to show up with a new dog.
With a new dog?
Yeah. With the old dog. Because, you know, they gave that dog back. That white woman, she is white. You know she was getting that dog back. They took that dog for like 3 days. All right, let's see who else is coming to the cookout, guys. Ooh, how about this one, guys? Nike.
Okay.
The home of Colin Kaepernick shoes.
Okay.
Okay, we fuck with them. Mm-hmm. Nike will now recognize Juneteenth as a paid holiday for its employees.
Come on, Nike!
They getting Juneteenth off.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
They've come a long way from being like,
you
the
know
worst
what?
To being the best.
I'm glad Nike's there because now Nike can get all the cleats for the flag football that they're going to be having on the other side of the field at the cookout. So thank you for your support, Nike.
Right.
Okay. I mean, what did I say? Just do it.
Come on. Just do it.
Just do it. Okay. Well, I'm going to just do it for y'all, Nike. Let's go ahead and get this party jumping. Okay.
This is how we do it.
Hey, listen. Y'all have a seat and bring some shoes for the basketball court, okay? We want to play basketball, so I want y'all to bring everybody some Jordans. And we bring them over by the basketball court. I wear a size 12.
They took all the rims down in New York, though.
I mean, well, okay, so at the cookout, we're going to have to get Nike to sponsor the court.
They're going
to
pay for the court.
I want a brand new Nike court. I want Black Lives Matter on the middle of it.
Right.
I want four rims. I want four rims. We want two full courts at the cookout, all right? Everybody can play shirts and skins or whatever, but we appreciate y'all, okay?
There's no wait for the game this way. Full courts,
Five on five.
Come on. That's what we do.
That's right, but you gotta stay 6 feet away from your opponent though.
Yeah, of course. And we want an inside court and an outside court.
Yes, okay? We do. We want it all.
We want it all. Okay, the deluxe package.
Cause we know you got the money, Nike.
Y'all got it to spend. We done bought enough of y'all shit for y'all to
come on.
Shout out to them though. They recognizing Juneteenth. Let's see.
Recognized, no doubt.
Let's see who else is sliding into the cookout, doing the bare minimum.
The bare.
Home Depot.
Okay.
Home Depot. Mm-hmm. Okay. Home Depot appears to distance itself from its co-founder, Bernie Marcus, after his support for President Trump's re-election campaign led to calls for a boycott of the retailer.
Oh.
The boycott campaign even drew a response from Mr. Trump, who said the people slamming Home Depot are vicious and totally crazed. And he would know. Bernie
vicious and totally crazy.
Yeah, his type of people. Bernie retired from the Home Depot more than 15 years ago and isn't speaking on behalf of the company, said Home Depot.
He retired over 15 years ago.
Right. Said Home. But see, that's the thing. Like, I love the black petty right now because it's the fact that he ever worked there. like technically this really isn't their fault, like it, right? Like, we shouldn't be boycotting them because this nigga used to work there, but right now is not the time. Okay, we was up there like, listen, I don't give a fuck if it was 15 years ago. Yeah. Y'all gotta denounce him today.
As many Negroes own Fords, come on.
Yeah, true. Home Depot spokeswoman Margaret Smith said in a media statement, in fact, as a standard practice, the company does not endorse presidential candidates. Marcus, a 90-year-old billionaire who left Home Depot in 2002, has been backing Mr. Trump and other Republicans for years. He donated $7 million to Trump's 2016 presidential campaign.
God damn.
Yep. No, that went straight to Cambridge Analytica. But Marcus's support drew a new wave of scrutiny after he told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last month that he planned to donate to Mr. Trump's 2020 campaign. Marcus said he stood by the president even though he thought Mr. Trump's communication sucks. This, you know what's crazy? This is once again another example of this. Why the fuck do evil people live so long? You are 90. You won't even get to enjoy this racism. You know what I mean? Like,
he's been enjoying it for the last 90 years. What are you talking about? He just wants to keep it going.
Yeah, like what? Like, he's like, at this point, he paying it forward. You know what I mean? It's like,
I'm paying for future racism.
Yeah, let me put something on it for the next generation of young whites. Okay, I got this. This racism's on me, y'all. I'm gonna go ahead and die in a little bit. 90 years old, bro. You can't do nothing. You can't have sex. You can't be at one of these golf courses. You can't be out at the protest. There's nothing for you to do except be racist. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, and fund the next. That's it.
Right. All the good people dying, though. All the good people just dead.
I mean, we're not the only ones that have elders, you know.
Yeah, I know. This is... Yeah. But our elders can't do nothing for it. Like, you know what I'm saying? You make it to 90. Oh, yeah. If you black and you make it to 90, you just made it. You know what I'm saying?
You're not the ones that tell us a story or something. You know?
Yeah, right. That's right.
Like, you know, our stories are different. We be like, woo, I'm just happy to be alive.
Right.
I woke up this morning.
Right. If you 90 and you black, you just like, I thank the Lord I made it another day.
Right? Because they know I'm about to see Jesus any day now.
If you 90 and you white, it's like, how do I step on these niggas' skulls one more time? Just vote. I can't die without making some black people feel bad one more time. So yeah, they distance themselves from him though. Okay, they not fucking with him anymore. They haven't fucked with him for 15 years.
Oh damn! What is this? I hope his black mistresses and half black kids are living well off his money.
Mm-hmm. So we gotta give Home Depot their props, guys. And when I think of Home Depot, I think of construction.
Hey.
We appreciate you for doing the lease, Home Depot.
Yeah, go ahead and put that playground back there and build it from scratch.
Yeah.
Right.
We need somebody to help build this shed, okay? We got one of the property brothers that designed it.
Come on!
But somebody gotta provide the materials. Home Depot, come on through.
Yo, man, this is the last time the Lionel Richie was coming. This right here?
Mm-hmm.
That was the last moment that Lionel Richie was connected to anything funky.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. After this, he went straight to the.
That was it.
Straight to the soft chart.
After that, it was easy like Sunday mm-hmm. morning from then on.
Oh, so after this, it was all night long.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
It's two Lionel Richies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, I just look at him as just
Lionel Richie. It's like that year that
I'm young. I'm sorry, y'all.
It's like that year the BET Music Awards did a tribute to Lionel Richie, and the white people did a tribute to Lionel Richie. It was two different, like
two different versions.
Exactly.
It's like
exactly.
It's like y'all have never heard of the other one of these people, have you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The white people that was like, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?"
Black people.
So just to be close to you, come on, man.
Right.
Yes.
I ain't mad at him. I'm just saying, though.
Yeah. No. Nah. No doubt.
Brickhouse. No. That was it.
That's the one. That's the one.
That's the one.
Well, yeah. Thanks for building this brick house with us, Home Depot. Come on. We appreciate you. You know, we're gonna need y'all. And let's see. We'll do one more. How about how about this one? Sephora.
Yeah, the makeup people.
The makeup people, Karen.
Did I call Sophia that time?
You did call them. That is correct. You did call them.
Y'all know I don't know nothing about no makeup.
Sophia.
Yes, I thought that's what it was called.
You walk into such a, where's Sophia at? Where's Sophia at?
I did. I got some 50 from now.
Where's Sophia?
And I was like, see?
They have no idea what you're
talking about.
They have no idea.
I'm looking for 50. Where
is she? Sophia in there. Sophia, like, all my life I had to fight.
You told Harpo to beat me and now I got to cover it with makeup.
Sephora is the first major retailer to answer a fashion designer's call for 15% of store items to be from black-owned businesses.
Come on.
They have committed to the 15% pledge to ask companies to purchase 15% of its products from black-owned businesses. The beauty retailer took the pledge after fashion designer Aurora James called on major companies to make lasting economic changes to support black communities. Sephora was the only major company to respond to the pledge, among other large retailers such as Target, Walmart, and Whole Foods.
And this is actually really, really big because they're like huge. Like, if you know anything about makeup, they're like the spot to go to. And you literally can find any makeup brand you could think of is going to be there. And so this is actually big. Force them to do this. And that's a start. But it eventually needs to be more work, you know, force them to work with some of the local people or the people on the internet that make makeup. Put them in the stores too, because a lot of times, not trying to be funny, we go to Target and Walmart, and I'm not knocking that, but go where people buy the makeup, because when I go to Target and Walmart, I'm looking for other shit. Go to the space that's specifically designed. This is the makeup joint.
And shout out to all the black creators that got paid, okay?
Come on.
Come on through to the cookout.
That's
Sephora.
That's real talk.
Come on. We know y'all want y'all faces. Speak to the gods, women. We got this 50. Hey. They're going to have all the women lit up in there. I see you got your makeup done, girl. Go ahead. Hey, they do your eyebrows too.
We're gonna be hitting the dance floor, okay? And if you need a little powder up, just go and hit the bathroom. They got a little stall in there. They're gonna take care of you before, okay?
Yes! And you know what? We do men too. You know, we don't care nothing about your gender. We got you covered with all the makeup.
Come on through. We're going to take care of you.
Put like this.
Put that guideliner on. You got to put that guideliner.
Got to put it on. Okay.
Come on. We don't care. We got you covered from the lightest of the lights to the darkest of the dark. We got you covered on the makeup scheme.
Professionally prepared.
I know. Yo, yeah, man.
We got tutorials.
Rest in peace to
Johnny Kemp.
Yeah,
baby.
That was a
jam.
For real, baby.
He was a friend of ours, yeah.
Oh man, wow. It'll live forever too.
Yeah. That's my bop.
And you know what? I mean? It's gonna live forever because no matter how long you on this planet, when that motherfucking direct deposit hit, that's the song. You know what I'm saying?
That's the bop.
Forever. No one gonna ever make a song that make me think of, when my direct deposit hit, well, I'll be like, yes, turn it up.
Oh yeah.
And this song is perfect because if it's a Friday, a nigga just got paid. It don't matter. It's the two and four.
You
know, it doesn't freeze.
You can pay me on a Tuesday. Guess what song I'm hearing in my head?
That's like, hey,
of the New Jack Swing joints, mm-hmm. that's one of the absolute classics.
Absolute, dog.
Absolute.
Live forever.
Yeah, like you say, any day of the week is a Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, hold on. I'm a pause. You work with both Teddy Riley and
Teddy Riley.
Oh, sorry.
And Babyface. Yeah. Yep. I did because the Babyface was producing Jermaine Jackson, and I played on the Jermaine Jackson record.
And what'd you think of, what'd you think about the verses?
LA and Babyface were still partners at that time.
What'd you think about the verses? Like, did you see it or you watched it?
I don't think I saw the verses. Okay, I'm not, you know what, I should.
Mm-mm. Okay, alright, no problem, no problem. Hey, look, I don't want nobody getting no trouble.
But keep, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna spill that tea.
Yeah, we don't do that kind of show. No problem. I ain't trying to get nobody.
But I found it fast. I'll just say I found it fast.
What do you think about verses in general? Like,
yeah,
you know,
the concept.
The concept.
Oh, you mean someone play their track and they play another track?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good. I mean, it's all good to someone lose an eye.
Yeah, it's so weird because even the protest took verses from us. Nobody talked about it, but like we ain't had one. Right. Since the protest started, it's like nobody even, it's like, no, Saturday night, we can't be jamming, okay? We out in these streets right now.
I know, right? Yo, D-Nice still doing his thing? Quarantine?
I think he might be, but they've done some restrictions on mm-hmm. Instagram now where like, you can only play the song for like less than 90 seconds and they're gonna cut you off.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody trying to make money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hear that.
Yeah,
it's
that was the thing people was kind of complaining about. I was like, but I also, if you the artist, I can understand. Yeah.
But D-Nice was
he's
great.
Still doing
it.
It
was.
And Keith Shockley's was dope too.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Him and Questlove are like two of the main ones that's still spinning. So I don't know if they like got
Questlove's,
grandfathered in.
Questlove's like a fucking educator.
Yeah.
Like it's like his sets aren't even just like for jamming.
Questlove is
he spends a lot of time being like, I'm gonna take you from like this.
Don't Vernon this. Stop, Vernon, stop. Vernon, stop. Just stop. Cause you got that
Heavy D? You got that Heavy D?
No, stop. Stop, you're gonna get all of us in trouble with your bullshit.
It's all good.
All right, that was like inside language that can only happen when you've known each other your whole lives, like that entire exchange. I don't know what nuclear bomb y'all just averted.
We did not cut the red wire because
yeah,
Vernon was about to say some shit that's gonna get us all.
You know what I mean? Isn't that after you, man? No, we haven't had anything cut the blue wire, cut the red wire.
Yeah, you know, Quest worked with iHeartRadio and shit. We gonna get taken off iHeartRadio for no reason. Like, what happened? We didn't even do nothing.
Yeah, like get y'all out of here.
And to that, I say nothing.
See, because we scared the other way around. We scared we gonna get y'all canceled.
Right.
Don't worry about us. We worried about y'all.
Keep moving. Next subject.
Speaking of getting canceled, you guys know what it's time for. Let's play some Guess the Race, okay? That always gets everybody canceled.
One of my favorite segments on the Black Guy Who Tips.
Well, now you're about to be a participant. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me start up. Here we go.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Corey and Vernon from Living Color, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist and the chat room plays along. All right. Let's get to our first story.
Mm-hmm.
An employee stole $658,000 worth of hospital supplies and sold them on eBay.
Well, damn.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of PPEs.
Yeah, apparently, there was an investigation that began in August of 2019 into Tommy John Riker. And he worked at, Maury County Hospital.
What's his name again?
Tommy John Riker.
Okay.
All right. It concluded this past Monday with the indictment of the former Maury Regional Hospital employee who worked in the supply chain department, where they received the shipping and dispersed items within the hospital. 22nd Judicial District Attorney Brent Cooper says it looked like most of his customers were fire departments, ambulance services, different places like that across the country. According to Cooper, the hospital reached out to his department to launch the investigation. Cooper tells News 2 that from January 2017 until 2019, Riker is accused of stealing more than $600,000 worth of hospital supplies and then selling those items for personal gain on eBay. Cooper says, we don't think any of the customers who were buying had any idea that the items were stolen.
Of course they didn't.
According to the veteran investigator Tommy Goetz, over a 2-year period, Riker allegedly stole.
Tommy Goetz. Yeah. Named Tommy Goetz.
He the goat at investigating.
Oh, I know he got jokes all his life.
Tommy Goetz said, Riker allegedly stole 2,000 syringes, more than 5,000 surgical bandages, and 600 hemostats.
What the hell is that?
A hemostat? I don't know. I can Google
that. What's a
hemostat? Hemostat is, they're forceps. They're forceps. It's also called a hemostatic clamp. So, like, you know, clamps they use.
Oh, hemostatic clamp. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
I get it.
All right. Investigators say those items cost the hospital $658,000. They say he pocketed more than $1.4 million.
Damn.
So he wasn't just selling. Okay. He was selling at a markup.
Yes.
Because, like, it was $658 at cost. Yeah. He made $1.4 million.
Can we jump to guess the race right now?
I mean, you can guess. There's no bonus credit for speed, but you can guess the race at any point.
Okay. Oh, he's a white guy.
Okay. All right. Vernon's going white. I can finish reading the article if you guys want to hear the rest.
I'll take it back. I'll finish the article.
The bandages are.
You're getting ahead of yourself again, Vernon. Slow down.
The bandages are hemostatic surgical celluloid dressing. Cooper says the bandages apply to open wounds that will close the wounds immediately. They are using emergency personnel and military. They were hot items. According to DA Tommy Riker's charge with theft for over $250,000, which is a class A felony. This is the same classification as second degree murder. It carries a punishment of 15 to 25 years. He is indicted on 54 counts of money laundering. Cooper says each count of money laundering could result in 8 to 12 years in prison. Maury Regional Health became aware of the alleged misappropriation of assets in August 2019. Upon conducting an internal investigation, we engaged the district attorney's office, and they have indicted former employee Tommy Riker. Following extensive investigation, Mr. Riker is employed from 2016 to 2019. All right, guess the race.
Where is this at again?
This is in, I want to say, Virginia.
I'm going white.
Okay, Karen's going white. Yeah, what? It doesn't say former.
I'm gonna go Ocean's 13 without Most Def White.
Oh no! All right.
And what about
Most Def wasn't in Ocean's 13? It was
exactly.
What about you, Corey? Where are you going with?
Jesus, I'm going against the grain. I'm gonna say he's black.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. White, Will Riker's great great grandson. White people steal too. White capitalist. Season 2 of The Wire. White as the gauze he sold. Misappropriation of assets. Sounds white as fuck. Out here in the hospital, white. Grey's Anatomy, white. PPE equal privilege. White economics, white. White like his collar and his crime. Tommy Boy, white. Only white people had the confidence to do that. Says all lives matter, but fuck them niggers, white. White collar, white crime. eBay ranking of 100% black. White. Tommy from Power, white, but can moonwalk because he's from VA. Aww. Three names plus 2 years in operation equal one white future presidential candidate. set up an eBay page instead of selling them in the laundromat. White as a lab coat. And the correct answer is Karen, Vernon, most of the chat room, you got it right, he's white.
You gave the game away when you said the fire department.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that he was able to sell it to so many legitimate businesses.
It does
sort of lend itself to white. And I had to take Karen off screen to show you guys the picture, but I also had to play the booze for Corey because he missed it.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
That's his picture from LinkedIn. That's his cool guy picture. From LinkedIn. He also has his mug shot here that I can show you guys. That's him when he got arrested.
Oh
yeah. So
why does that look like, wow, that does look like a LinkedIn photo.
Yeah,
that's
the whites are at it again,
you know,
y'all.
George that's George Clooney wannabe white, you know,
right? all right, let's go to the next one. So far, Karen and Vernon have the lead. Okay. A woman fires a gun while intoxicated in a shared hotel room after discussion of a threesome.
Well, damn.
I take it the discussion didn't go too well.
Mm-hmm, she was,
I don't think it did.
No, she was fired up.
She was. There, yeah.
Oh.
And they almost got fired up, too.
You come on.
Was she hot as a pistol?
Yes!
You know, in the coronavirus apocalypse...
I guess she didn't want to go... No.
Do it, Vernon. Do it. No, he can't stop you. Don't let him stop you.
No, I still got my groove, man. I'm off my groove, man.
All right. Well, I'll go. Listen.
I wasn't smooth with it. It's fine. It's fine.
Just because it's the coronavirus doesn't mean you shouldn't. Shoot your shot.
No.
Get it, Vernon. Do it. Do it. Do it now. Do it now.
You think she had
a... messed up, man.
Y'all think she had a...
Messed up, man.
You think she had a vibrator? She could have just brought a bullet to the bedroom. Nah, that's what... Different type of bullet. Wrong too. Way too many bullets.
That's the wrong bullet.
Right.
He misunderstood. 23-year-old Elizabeth Peterson was charged with negligently discharging a handgun through the roof of a shared hotel room while next to a baby.
Oh shit, through the ceiling. I hope that was on the top floor.
There is a lot going on.
Where is it? There was a baby in the room?
Right. There's a lot going on.
There's a baby in the room. Mm-hmm. They wanted to have a threesome, and somebody shot
with a baby in the room.
Yeah, there's more. I'm
and
not
a loaded gun.
I just would like to clarify. Have not finished the first sentence of the article yet.
Oh, okay.
There's more. Okay. There's actually more in the first sentence.
Okay.
23-year-old Elizabeth Peterson was charged with negligently discharging a handgun through the roof of a shared hotel room while next to a baby, after having a discussion about a threesome while intoxicated. So many things that are happening. First of all, shared hotel room. That's, you know, things ain't, it's not that great. Things aren't that great. Shared hotel room and a baby. Okay. And we talking about getting this threesome popping off. You have a gun, ma'am. And you also are drunk. That's a lot.
So wait, she shot the gun into the ceiling.
Into the ceiling.
Into the ceiling, which means somebody could have been above them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wait, so I assume the dude... Well, the dude is suggesting, hey, baby, how about a threesome? But she doesn't shoot him. She shoots up. It's like a warning shot.
She was on some Yosemite Sam kind of shit.
I mean, you know what? I mean,
you gonna have a good time tonight.
Woo, pow, pow, pow.
I mean, what? Wow, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you ain't, is that what,
no, no, I have more. Yeah. I have more.
Yeah, you know, I guess she was like, either I'm gonna get off or this gun gonna get off. One of us gonna take a shot.
Oh!
Yeah, Karen! Yes, Karen!
I couldn't help myself, y'all.
Yeah, she probably, was triggered by that conversation.
Yes, triggered!
Her threesome really need to come with a trigger warning. Yes! A little trigger warning. Oh, man.
I couldn't help myself.
On June 2nd at a Loft hotel. Ooh, those are nice hotels.
I like those hotels.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. She got a baby at a Loft hotel shooting off a gun about a threesome that's not going to happen. Because, you know.
Right. Man. You fucked up the good hotel. I was sure this was a motel. I thought it was gonna be like a Holiday Inn at best.
Mm-mm. I thought it was gonna be a motel because there's a difference between a hotel and a motel.
Yeah, I thought it was about
the name of the hotel. It has the name of the
and
has
a
the
Holiday name of the Inn. I'm sorry.
No, it's like it's got the name of the interstate highway it's on.
Yes, you know, like, yes.
Hotel I-76.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I know we got roaches in here. Don't leave. Leave the luggage. Don't leave the luggage on top of the bed. We not touching nothing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Try to hover above the beds and fall asleep.
Okay. Yes. That's the hotel.
Up straight.
That's the hotels back in the day where you be driving somewhere and you like, I want to have sex, but I'm not going to stay here. Like, people like, we can pull over and we can only stay here long enough to have sex. They can have these keys back. Okay. We're not,
right.
I don't want to get robbed. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want some stranger beating on the door talking about I'm next.
Right.
You best to have your UV wand at the red. That's all I'm saying.
No, you don't want it. You don't want it. You don't want to know.
No. You don't.
What's that song? I don't want to know. Mm-mm. I don't want to know.
Mm-mm. I don't want to know.
Yeah. I knew what it was when I pulled up. I knew what it was. Okay.
That's when you keep all your clothes on. You be like, nah. Mm-mm.
The inside of that shit gonna look like Slaughterhouse if you fucking put the wand.
like somebody died in here.
How you get it on the ceiling? Why? What's it even doing on the ceiling? It don't matter.
All right, how'd you get it behind the mirror?
Right.
I don't know.
Is this a bullet hole in the ceiling? Who's been having threesomes in here?
Right?
That's
some young people shit. My ass is old.
Yeah.
When you get old, you put standards on your pussy and you be like, the hell you is? No, nigga.
That's what made me so mad. Because this is A-Loft. This is where you supposed to be like, this is a nice place to take a lady. Mm-mm. And now they shooting up the A-Loft. Like, yeah, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, you younger, you don't know no better.
I'm trying to figure out the baby, though. The baby angle is the part of it.
Yeah. The baby ain't got to do with this. Yeah.
The baby angle is that's the part that take it sideways.
That's probably why she started shooting. Because, like, if you had the audacity to ask a motherfucker for a threesome in front of their baby... I mean, they kind of got the right
to shoot you. Well, wait a minute. Was it his baby? I mean, I'm confused.
Yeah. Let's see. So, security waved down the police.
That's some weird family dynamics, you know what I mean?
Right. And who was the third? Was the baby the third? What was the
going on? I hope not. I hope it was another adult.
Hopefully not.
See, that's... Now, all right.
Hopefully not.
See, Glover, you go... Now, Glover, you go... You go and done got... Why?
Yeah, hopefully not. Let's read the details. Let's find out.
See.
On June 2nd at A-Loft Hotel, security waved down police in response to shots being fired inside a room reported by the hotel staff. Police spoke to the suspect, Elizabeth Peterson, who told them that she had a male, Logan Boyette, and a female friend with a baby visiting from Missouri, and she was in their hotel room visiting. She said they were all there drinking and discussing having a... Oh, shit. Oh, somebody phone.
Take your time, Vernon. Yeah, it's not like we're doing something live. Go ahead.
I turned off my phone as one of my other devices.
It was her calling. She was like, what's up with this threesome, Vernon? It's just me and this 45 over here waiting to see what you trying to and a baby.
What you trying to do?
See what you trying to do.
What you trying to do?
So then, she said they were all drinking and discussing having a possible threesome when the male said he wanted to kill himself with a handgun that was in the room.
What?
Police described Peterson as intoxicated because she had red and watery eyes as well as a strong odor of alcohol on her breath. Peterson grabbed a handgun, which belonged to Logan, and shot the ceiling into an unoccupied room above theirs. When she shot the weapon, she was only a few feet from Logan and the sleeping child. Officers say Peterson was cooperative throughout the entire process. Elizabeth Peterson was arrested and charged with reckless endangerment and possession of a handgun while under the influence. She was later freed for on pretrial release. Guess the race of Elizabeth Peterson.
I'm going to go white.
All right.
Okay. Shots fired, and there's a baby, and it, you know, there's some that's the white complications.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sound like white complications to me.
And
was anyone arrested?
Only she was arrested.
Oh,
they didn't arrest everybody?
No. And then she also was.
And they kept the baby. The baby wasn't taking the child services.
No. She was later freed.
The baby was taking child services.
Okay. No. Yeah, and she was later freed on pretrial release. This also happened in Nashville, Tennessee. If that helps at all.
It's white. That's white. All
right. Looks like got a clean sweep of whiteness going around. Let's check the chat room. White porn set up. Everyone needs mental health counseling.
Everyone in that room was white except for the baby.
White girl, wasted white. The child stayed asleep, probably used this white treachery. She got cocaine dreams of crack hole schemes, white.
Oh, no.
Spent her stimulus money to get a nice-ass hotel, white. She probably says cock, white. That's a telling factor.
That's true.
Ooh, this gotta be white. She is alive, free, and unraped. White.
Right.
White. Only whites. Unraped. Only whites name their kids Elizabeth White. The name sounds white. I'll go with that. Hotel linen's white. That was not the cum shot the others were hoping for.
Oh, no.
Only white woman. Oh,
you gotta play the music. You gotta play the music for
yeah,
that.
Yeah. What is it at? Here we go. Yeah, that's not the crack ass crackers. Maury Show White paved all the money just to act as an ass white. The correct answer is, and this one is interesting because I'm gonna give you guys white, but when you see this picture, could be black. Okay. Like, she could be passing, okay? I'm going to show y'all this picture. I feel like they probably let her go because they thought she was white, but won't be shocked if she had a little...
That's Karen.
Little something in us.
Just
a little something.
Just a little...
I can't see anything.
Oh, you can't see the picture? Hold on.
I saw the picture.
Okay.
Oh, now I see it.
Okay, yeah. Could be us. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like...
Could be us.
Yeah.
There's something.
You know how we can see it, but they can't see it. I feel like the cops didn't see it.
The waves in the hair.
Yeah. The cops didn't see it. We can see it.
Yeah.
She be at the cookout.
She might not use the Jamaican castor oil. You know, right. She might use the lot of jojoba oils.
Right. She can actually use that, what's the one everybody get? Mixed Girl? Is that the name of it? The one that everybody hate?
Oh, no.
They hate that shit. I'm like, but don't they need products, too? Why are we hating on
right.
that? They
right.
still black?
They still black.
So she got to use the 4C mm-hmm. products in order to be right. real? Come on, now. That ain't right. Mm. Anyway. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen and Vernon are 2-for-2 and Corey is 1-1. But everything's worth double in the bonus round. Let's see what happens. Mobile Police. I guess Mobile, Alabama. Karen, I invite you back on screen, by the way.
Okay, I'm coming back.
All right. Mobile police arrested a man. They arrested a man who threw feces on police officers.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. He put them in a shitty situation.
Yes! Today is your day. It's
shit.
I couldn't help it, y'all. I couldn't help it.
Oh man. Do they even have a code for this in the, you know, like a, like 187 or whatever? We got a number two. We got a number two. Officer number down. Number two. Yeah, officer down, number two, going on. We need assistance. Gonna need backup.
Yeah.
Mobile police have charged a man with fouling a police car and throwing his feces at officers after being arrested on a domestic violence complaint. Metro jail records show that Kendall Dion Benjamin, 32, has been charged with third degree domestic violence assault, second degree criminal mischief, and assault with bodily fluids. Ugh, fluids. What kind of shit was this?
The worst. Unseemly.
Right. As well as three felony probation violations. Police account says that Benjamin was arrested after 7 p.m. Tuesday night when police responded to a domestic violence complaint. While on the way to jail, the subject slipped his handcuffs in front of him, proceeded to defecate, and threw it on the officers.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
He got out of his handcuffs and then shit in his hand.
Yes.
And then dug in his pants.
And then threw it at
his hand and started throwing it while in the back of the police car.
Right. Man.
Shouldn't they have smelled the fact that
I just pictured him being in the front, because this is what I imagine happening. Like, you see him doing it because it's all this commotion to do this, right?
Back there, right?
So you must be in the front of the car just like, don't you do it. Don't you fucking, don't you, god damn it. Don't you, oh god, he's doing it. He don't fucking, if you, I swear to god, we will come back there. And then you just got the shit thrown on you. There's nothing you can do at that point. And now they got these body cameras and shit. So they had to take that L that night. I was looking at the mugshot to see if he got fucked up, but he looked relatively intact. So I guess they just took that L.
He looked relatively intact.
Mm-hmm. I guess they just took the L that night.
Say his name again.
His name is Kendall Dion Benjamin.
Black.
According to information released by police, the incident also caused damage to the vehicle. Well, of course, he threw shit in the vehicle. It's impossible for that not to damage the vehicle.
It damaged something.
It only got on us. The jail records indicate that Benjamin remains in the jail Wednesday afternoon. Vernon's going with Black. Karen?
KDB. KDB. Oh.
That name, that is a black ass name.
It is.
That's a Kendall Dion Benjamin.
All right, Karen's going black. Corey.
Oh man, come on. been fucking up all day. So, fuck it. I'm gonna go black because the fact that he was A in the police car, they already arrested this dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's Nashville. Yeah, it's black.
All right, let's check the chat room. Progressive R&B artist.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's messed up.
Oh, man.
That's messed up.
Brown brand new brother in town. Doodoo Brown. He really was Boo Boo the Fool.
Oh, no.
For a second. For a terrible second, I thought he was saying Brown versus the Board of Education.
Oh.
There it is. There's a song, Rod.
Oh, God, I wasn't ready.
May the ancestors forgive us for that one. Okay.
Oh yeah.
That's gonna cancel us, the ancestors.
Right. Doodoo Brown, black nigga throwing steamers in apprehension. Shitty booty Benjamin Black, Doodoo Brown black hands covered in doodoo, but at least his legs are clean black. Dookie stick black.
Oh no.
I bet he could flip when he was a little boy, and yet he never took one gymnastics lessons. Negro. Shit in the hands called ACAB black. Kendall says black. Behavior says white. Black with a white parent, says Sparger. Are you trying to hedge your bets over there, Sparger?
That was unkind.
You revealed the only reason to do yoga. We don't want to do it to be centered. Namaste this shit. Tootsie Roll black. What can Brown do for you, Black? POC Poover. That's not POC, or you mean Black. Okay, with capital B. African booty scratcher Black. Oh, you took it back. Boo boo the boo. All right, the correct answer is, and I think everyone said the same thing, it is Black.
Kendall Dion. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
they got some black sounding white names in the South. Right, but Kendall and Dion together. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
he wasn't happy at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he been locked up for the quarantine. You could tell.
Care turned into Marvin Gaye when she seen this picture.
Oh, I'm sorry,
brother.
Oh, what is going on with your hairline, my baby?
Hey. At least that mean he quarantining, you know, like.
Right. he couldn't be that. Ain't nobody coming near him now.
Yeah. We always wonder what happened to that kid, the pee pee boy, when they grow up, and now we know. Okay.
Now you know.
This is what happens to the pee pee kid, guys. They grow up to become the doo-doo man. Oh, man. Shitting on the cops.
You let that little slide by there, Rod. I saw what you did there.
It did slide by. It slid by them. Slid on them.
Passed them.
Somebody gonna have to, we gonna have to start a hashtag clean the police. All right.
Let's disinfect the police. Disinfect the police.
Oh man. Alright, let's get into sword ratchetness, guys.
I'm sorry. Oh, I fenced as a kid. I was the defensive team. That's how much of a nerd I am.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no fencing shit sound like that ever.
Y'all wasn't getting it in.
It could be sabers.
Even then didn't sound like that.
That's why I only did like 2 years of Taekwondo as a kid, because it wasn't nearly as cool as the movies.
your hand didn't make that.
Yeah, it wasn't none of that. Like you couldn't hit a nigga about. Like none of that shit was happening.
No,
it was very, very boring and disciplined. It was way fucking different. The only thing you learned was that key-op thing that sounded that shit. That's the only thing you learn that makes noise. Everything else is just quietly getting your ass whooped. All right, exclusive. A heartless thug who sliced off a stranger's thumb with a pirate sword later bragged about the unprovoked attack to mates with a thumbs up emoji.
Holy shit.
Oh.
Oh no, the shame. Oh
damn.
No.
God damn. A drug-addled thief who hacked off a stranger's thumb with a pirate sword, later bragged about the attack with a thumbs up emoji. Samuel Lighton's victim, father of three, Michael Villani, had been out for a late night walk after an earlier argument with his partner at their home in rural Victoria, just outside of Bendigo. That what was to be a simple stroll to clear the air has become a life-changing nightmare for the 37-year-old, who had been a skilled carpenter and tradesman.
Damn.
Yeah, someone, they have a picture of the text message as, hey, you read the Bendigo advertiser LOL? No, send me a photo of it. And it says, man flown to Melbourne after assault at Guys Hill Road, Rollins Estate, intersection, blah, blah. He said, was that you? And then he put the thumbs up emoji.
Oh.
Damn, what a dick. Oh, and someone said,
that's wrong.
Someone said, ha ha, hectic. And then he replied, yeah, I'm pretty hectic, LOL. If only you knew. Bro, why is that your friend? Who kicks it with this guy? This guy got friends? How many of y'all going through the coronavirus alone right now? Like, damn, I don't got no friends. Even this nigga got a friend.
Every crew has a psychotic
You know, every crew has one psychotic in it, though.
Yeah.
Who's that in our crew, Vernon?
Yeah, who is
who
it?
Who is that?
Who is that? Who's the loose cannon? Okay, who's the one that got to give up his badge? Okay.
Who that say who that when I say who that?
Right. Welcome to the party, pal.
Mr. Villani had never met the 26-year-old reprobate who so callously changed his life that night. Okay. September 23rd, 2018, my birthday. Layton, that means that this, if I'm not mistaken, that's like right around the time we did our live show.
Mm-hmm.
So that means like on our live show, somebody's getting their fucking thumb cut off from sword ratcheting somewhere. Ain't that crazy?
We can't do it in 2018.
The one thing that if everyone would listen to me on, we could stop. Was happening even in our face at the live show. That's crazy.
Right in front of my salad.
Layton had been, I think it was a chopped salad, Karen.
Ah!
Oh!
Oh man. Layton had been nothing but trouble since he was a kid. A rat tail deadbeat with a savage drug problem and an attitude to match. He had been practically homeless at the time after burning all of his bridges with his own family. Despite an active intervention order in place, Layton was still bunked up at his mom's Emu Creek property just south of Bendigo, northwest of Melbourne. He hadn't slept for 2 weeks and had been on meth, the dreaded drug ice, daily. It was just before 3 a.m. He called up his girlfriend and asked her to come over. He had a girlfriend too? Damn, boy.
My standards are low. I'm sorry.
Wow. That meth dick must be something else.
I don't want it.
You don't want that 2 week binge of meth dick?
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared of it.
I'm scared of that too.
Layton had believed he was about to be whacked by gangsters after he heard some hoonatics. I guess a type of gangster in Australia or something. Y'all ever heard of this?
I don't know.
A hoonatic.
Hoonatic. Is that a gang? The fuck is a hoonatic?
I don't know.
That's some white shit. That's what that is. The hoonatics, hoon TV. So it's like a TV, a podcast, Facebook group. What the fuck is a hoonatic?
I have no idea.
This is what happened when white people are allowed to come up with shit without no black people around to steal it from.
Right.
It'd be so uncool. You know what I mean? Anyway, y'all try to make that a thing. During burnouts outside the front of his mom's house, the pair jumped in their car and took chase, but not before Layton grabbed a large pirate sword that he had stashed away. Why the fuck do you have a large pirate sword stashed away? Your own meth. You don't sleep.
There's no ocean or ship near you.
You just gave the answer.
What the fuck?
You're on meth. You don't sleep. Of course you grab the prep.
We shouldn't even be able to sell that to you. You know what I mean? Like that. The pair jumped in the car, took chase. He grabbed the sword. They quickly lost sight of the hoons. But when they went to the drive, wow. First of all, can we just, his woman is ride or die.
Right.
He called her over. Cause he thought some gangsters was after her and they hopped in the car to chase the gangsters. Like that's a real one.
That's a real one.
Karen would never.
Roger can know me. I am ride. I'm not about dying.
Yes.
I will ride. We talk about die. Let me get off at the next exit, please. I will be calling 911 on your behalf.
Karen's more of a
and
ride.
We coming to get you.
Karen's more of a ride or ride type of woman.
Ride and visit.
Yeah.
Ride. Come on.
Right.
I'll come see you.
Right. Like if it was Queen and Slim, it would just be Slim by the end, you know.
Yeah, you know, if it put like this, and I don't mind dying, but you better be right. Like you better be right. Like if you own some bullshit, no, thank you.
So then Layton spotted Mr. Villani as he walked towards Bendigo and assumed he was a lookout for the imaginary gangsters. Despite solid advice from his girlfriend, Layton jumped out of the car and approached the hapless victim. Moments later, he returned for the pirate sword. With a single swipe, he took the thumb right off, sending it spinning into the darkness.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's and then he had another text message. There was a guy, his phone. It's another text message to someone else asking about it. He sent them the thumbs up emoji. God damn. This nigga was diabolical. And he was telling everybody about the crime. Anyway, the pair fled, leaving Mr. Villani bleeding and searching for his thumb. He was saved by a passerby who chanced upon him in the dead of night and called him an ambulance. He was airlifted to a hospital where his thumb was reattached. The thing that's wild about that dude.
They found it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that dude's penis, when Lorraine and Bobby threw it in the woods. But, the thing that's wild about that shit is he was taking a walk to clear his head after he having a fight with his girlfriend or lover or whoever. And then this nigga gets his thumb chopped off. I wonder what she was like. Was she still mad? Can you still be mad about the argument? Can you, hey, baby, I'm going to the hospital. They cut my thumb off. Good. Serves you right, motherfucker. Like, what? I was just walking the dog. I just needed a second. No, what about that shit you said? You know? The savage attack made local news, but rather than hide from his shameful attack, Leighton bragged about it in the most callous of ways. And they bring up those text messages I told you about. From a prison communications room, Leighton sat quietly as his victim outlined all the ways he had destroyed his life. Mr. Villani had been a construction manager who prided himself on his quality workmanship and skills at trade. In a victim impact statement he read aloud at the county court of Victoria, Mr. Villani said he blamed himself over the attack for a long time. Why didn't I run away? Why did I reach out to catch it? I got myself into this mess, he thought.
What?
You gotta be thinking that when you get your fucking thumb chopped off, Karen. You're gonna regret it. You know, it's just human. It's not his fault, but you're gonna go through the process of blaming yourself. You know, especially if it's your jack off hand. You know, nothing's worth that. Okay. You need the thumb action. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, I know I would not. Yeah.
It's like the trough. You don't know. So you
no. I will admit my ignorance.
While once everything he touched turned to gold, he's now unemployable. Why did they put that in the, that's fucked up. he had a green thumb and, he can't play video games, guitar, or piano anymore with his kids. His marriage ended. Now see, that probably had more to do with the argument than the thumb. See how he tried to lump that in? Y'all was already on the rocks. Then he's like, I lost my marriage because of my thumb. Like, nigga, we know what's up. Little offered no excuse for his mindless behavior. He pleaded guilty to one count of reckless causing serious injury. By the time of his pre-sentencing hearing earlier this month, he had scribbled a haphazard apology letter to the victim. His barrister said what if he put the thumbs up emoji in the apology? That would be.
Oh!
He drew a fucking.
I wish you well. Hang in there.
Yeah!
Oh no!
Oh, man.
Peace on the side.
Yeah!
He put up a prayer hand with the thumb showing.
Yeah. Oh, man. So his barrister said, her client had struggled with after the death of his mate, Tyler Cassidy, who was shot dead by police as a 15-year-old in 2008.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Only white people get to struggle with it for that long. Can you imagine if we got to use that as an excuse in court? Nobody be in jail. You know, we all know somebody.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
Look, man, they killed some black people from the cops. Well, we gotta let them go. Okay, he was having a time. Nah, not us. They'd be like, lock this nigga up for life. He's dangerous. Right. Leighton had appeared at children's court before graduating to adult assaults. And
so he was underage.
We're graduating. He graduated.
Oh, he was on some life. Oh, yeah. He was like, this is my life of crime type shit.
Yeah, you know, when you graduate, did they throw a ceremony? You know, across the stage. Like, come to court, they be like, you a man now. You did it, bro. Right.
Now turn around and take these adult handcuffs.
Right. Let's take your adult pictures. Okay. I remember when you was just assaulting children in here. Remember? Now look at you. A grown ass man.
A grown ass criminal.
Yeah, look. Yeah.
A grown ass criminal.
It's not every day. Like,
you were just a little juvenile offender.
Keep it up, son. You're on your way to Kingpin.
The bell of sheds a tear and shit. There he goes. I raised that boy from a young juvenile offender to a grown ass assaulter. You know, he's cutting off thumbs now. He's cutting off thumbs. I like to think I had something to do with that. He'll be sentenced on Monday, guys. That's it. Yo, Vernon, Corey, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
Hope
yeah, really.
Hope everything's going well with y'all in these times. And
yeah.
you know, we're, and good luck with everything on the album and all that stuff, and being creative.
Yeah,
and
man.
Hopefully y'all be touring again one day soon, and yeah, back to
see you again.
We get to see y'all again.
That's right.
You know, hopefully we'll be dapping and hugging.
We coming up with, we got a video. We took one of our tunes, a live version of one of our tunes, This Is a Life. We did a little video, you know, kind of bigging up the protests and things like that. So y'all can check that out. And we got some other things, socially distanced, another something coming up soon. So.
Dope.
I want to look out.
I'll make sure to put the video link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. I watched it again this morning. It's really well done, man. It's, like I said, timely message. You know, you guys been ahead of the time. Yes. Futuristic. So, yeah. You know, the time Thanks. Catching up to y'all, man. Man. All right, we'll be back.
We're massive fans of y'all. So it's
man, it's so dope, man. Yeah. Like I said, it's unbelievable, really. You know,
yes, it is.
like I really be like, they want to be on the show. All right, well, shit, then. Well, hell yeah, they can be on the show. Like Corey hit me up, like, can we be on the show? Right. I was like, hell yeah. Like what? Like you pick the time.
You ain't going nowhere. We ain't going.
Yeah,
nowhere.
That's the only good thing about this shit is that. People finally are sitting down.
And the bad thing.
Yeah, and the bad thing. But people are finally sitting down for us to be able to be like, yo, we can figure this out and get some time. Cause I look at, y'all's Instagram and this shit be like, yeah, we in fucking Thailand tonight, you know, then 2 days later, like Australia, like, I'm like, these motherfuckers be everywhere.
Traveling.
So it's dope that y'all can be here. We'll be back tomorrow and later in the week and all that stuff. Tuesday we have the crew from Three Guys On coming on, so
yay!
I know people will be excited about that. And until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.